with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Let's get it going. It is a lovely day before St. Patty's Day. Friday on the front porch here in what's left of almost level West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. This is Conversation Radio. And we hope that Fridays are a little more lighthearted, although sometimes the rotten bastards of the right wing making it a little more difficult to be lighthearted. This might turn out to be one of those evenings. One never knows. But we shall find out. Sorry, cleaning up the tabs here. A program note, next week should be relatively normal, with all the caveats that go with the use of the word normal on this program. It is the week thereafter that finds me heading back to D.C. again. Monday and Tuesday, we will be broadcasting live from Capitol Hill, as will Guy James of The Horn, and Rick Smith, that's my understanding. In relation to the oral arguments being presented before the Supreme Court of the United States, as touching upon the validity or invalidity of the Affordable Care Act. I have to admit that it would be kind of fun to see the miserable right-wingers presenting their arguments against. That's socialism, communism, all foisted upon us by that Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white peoples. Never mind, of course, that it was actually ghetto Congress that passed it. Oh, what is that Bible verse? The idiots ye have always with ye? Yeah. They're still here! And I mean, really, they're still here. That's not a joke. Oh, what do I mean by that? Let's see. Let's just take a quick peep. I had a running tally earlier in the day. Yeah, here we go. There's a good example of it right off the bat. Texas, of course, Texas, is at war with women. Really? And in particularly at war with women's insides. That's a start. Then again, so too is Arizona. The repiglic and controlled legislature in that the poor, backwards, politically occupied state, occupied by racists and bigots and, you know, the usual suspects of the right-wing cabal, are going to protect the fetuses. All them little fetuses except the brown ones. They're going to protect the fetuses, the sacred fetuses, from the predatory nature of Planned Parenthood. Straight party line vote, of course. Arizona Senate Committee on Health Care and Medical Liability passed the bill out of committee, having already seen the same thing pass in the Arizona House. Governor Hatchet-Faced Jan Brewer will be signing the legislation into law, and all state funding will be stripped away from any group that performs abortions. So I guess we can take it that all unemployment in Arizona is down to nil. Everybody's got a job, a roof over their head. Everything's happy in Arizona, and now we can move on to the truly stupid, hateful, and trivial. Never mind the fact that poor women in this country, with its incredibly brutal health care system, many poor women go to Planned Parenthood for things far beyond abortions. They've already shut 12 rural Planned Parenthood clinics in, like I mentioned, Texas. And Texas today, in a moment of sublime stupidity. Well, we've got several moments of Texas sublime stupidity, but it's a big state with room for lots of stupid. They cut off the state of Texas cut off its nose to spite its fetus. Notification went out from the Obama administration. See, he's a Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist with socialist tendencies who has a deep-seated hatred of white fetuses. You know how it goes. Now, the Obama administration sent notice out yesterday that Texas Women's Health Program will no longer receive federal funds. Of that funding, about $1 comes from the state of Texas, and about $9 comes from the federal government, you know, namely, for the most part, people in those, you know, godless, heathen, communist blue states. Right? But it's a matter of law. If you're going to discriminate in the way you allocate such funds, you can't have them. Because federal dollars cannot be used to advance discriminatory policies. It's a matter of law. You can't use, you can't ban specific providers from Medicaid programs under the law of the United States of America. America. Blech. Two Americans. And bear in mind that Texans, to their credit, disagree with the right-wing ideologues, insurgents, and extremists who are doing this. But since when has a Republican ever given a damn about what constituents actually want? That's why that's why they're ideologues. Rick More Hair Than Brains Perry has reacted unpleasantly. He's figured out the Twitter, Rick Perry has, and he tweeted, "Obama admin ends WHP via media conference call. At Governor Perry pledges..." That's his Twitter? Oh, boy. Everybody, jot this down. "At Governor Perry pledges state will keep program going, and this is how Obama administration works, notifying press before the state administrators? Purely political. Hashtag WHP, Women's Health Program." They could probably just work all of this out if Rick would invite him out to his ranch there and sit down to a cold beer and, you know, maybe a Shiner. A little bit of barbecue. Get this all figured out so that Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people can figure out that this is about protecting life. Even if we lose a few lives, taking health care away from them. God bless America. Oh, but wait a minute. I bet that meeting's probably not going to happen. Seeing as how the president probably wouldn't feel real good about going out to N-Head Ranch. Darn. So close to a rapprochement. And then, like I said, there's a lot of room for the stupid in Texas. We got dumb, lots of dumb under starry skies above. Don't brains me in. It's another one of those stories where you have to run over and make sure that when you're looking at it, wait, this isn't from The Onion, is it? Is this Andy Borowitz? No, it's not. In the state of Texas, there's a Senate candidate by the name of Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz is a wildly right-wing weirdo. I probably should stop saying right-wing weirdo. Not because it's not nice, it's completely accurate, but it's redundant. Right-wing equals weirdo. Therefore, to say right-wing is like saying Dark Knight. And that's a knight without a K. The period that follows in broad daylight. No, every now and then, well, if the United Nations announced that it intended to have tuna fish sandwiches for lunch, somewhere out there would be a misguided, underbrained, well-chumped, dumber than a bag full of hammers, or pig-licking, who would swear that they're only having that tuna fish sandwich lunch to take away American freedoms. Because the UN wants to everybody eating their tuna fish sandwiches they want them to participate in their one world tuna fish sandwich government, and none of us will ever be able to get egg salad again. Really? Golf? No, I'm not kidding. Golf. There is a Texas repiglicking who is convinced that them one world government, new United Nations, sovereignty stealers is after our golf. They're going to take away the great game of golf, which, as we all know, was invented in America, so that white people would have an excuse to wear hideous plaid trousers. In this case, it's Agenda 21. This what you're about to hear comes from the website of Texas Senate candidate Ted Cruz. In 1992, the United Nations adopted Agenda 21 to achieve a more efficient and equitable world economy, outlining a process to eliminate environmental decay and social injustice through micromanaging industries, communities, and culture. They will meet again next year to discuss its progress in over 100 nations. The originator of this grand scheme is George Soros, who candidly supports socialism and believes that global development must progress through eliminating national sovereignty and private property. And egg salad sandwiches. No, I added the egg salad sandwiches part. I hate egg salad. Ugh. He has given millions to this project, but he is not the only one promoting this plan. In fact, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI, now consists of over 600 cities in the United States. Agenda 21 attempts to abolish unsustainable environments, including golf courses, grazing pastures, and paved roads. That's right, I said paved roads. And paved golf cart paths. It hopes to leave Mother Earth's surface unscratched by mankind. Agenda 21 subverts liberty, our property rights, and our sovereignty. This is kind of like that goober who went on CNN and got taken down by Solenoid O'Brien over critical race theory, which says that the civil rights movement was a sham and that we have to kill Whitey. It wasn't that, and this isn't what Agenda 21 is. Mr. Cruz is also a nullificationist. You know, one of those people who wants to go back to that theory that predates the Civil War and had a lot to do with the advent of the Civil War. He believes that everything short of Antonin Scalia is unconstitutional. Oddly enough, however, he does believe that corporations are people, full citizens. Thanks for the welcome back, Jim. I talked about the D.C. At the beginning of the program last night, having jumped into the chair as soon as I got through the door. You know, I read stories about Mr. Cruz and I just say, ouch. If he wasn't such a noxious individual, you'd feel sorry for him. Because it must be painful to walk around through life. I don't know, ignorance is bliss. Is it possible for stupid to cause pain? Because this is painfully stupid. But, to work with the golf analogy, par for the course for the right wing. Speaking of painfully stupid, this being Friday and all, we can deal with this issue. I think it's not always the Republicans. Sometimes it's somebody that ought to be a Republican. Or might be a Republican who is actually hiding out. In Democrat clothing. That appears to be the case in North Carolina. Because this is, well, then again, maybe it's just a southern thing. I don't know. This is a matter of, where's the dang search box? Maybe it's just a matter of being southern. Here he is. with probably the winning silly name of the evening. I give you Bivins Hauler. Bivins Hauler. That's B-I-V-I-N-S-H-O-L-L-A-R. Bivins Hauler. Who in the photo I have before me looks like he bears a striking resemblance to the guy who played Newman on the old Seinfeld program. He was running for political office from Catawba County, North Carolina, and running as a Democrat. Maybe because he figured he didn't have a chance against the Republicans trying to get the nomination, and nobody runs as a Democrat in North Carolina anymore, hardly. Now, when you're running for a local office in North Carolina, you know what you want? You want to have a really good South Africa policy. And it turns out that Bivins Hauler had put this weird-ass video on his own campaign website, at which point a reporter from the Charlotte Observer by the name of Jim Morrill gave old Bivins a holler. Hey, Biv, it's Jim. Charlotte Observer. What about this here video on your website? And Bivins Hauler says, I didn't do it. I don't know what you're talking about that I didn't do. Hang on just a minute. And while putting Jim Morrill of the Charlotte Observer on hold, proceeds to delete his own video from his YouTube account. This, then, the video.
Hey, Eli and Neil. I'm making this video for two reasons. One is I'm going to be at the market on Sunday, the flea market selling, so I'm not going to be able to type it in the chat box, but I do have something for Neil to look into, and I want to know his opinion on this, because it's about South Africa. A few years ago, when I was selling on eBay, I was sending Dan Root money, about like, you know, anywhere between 50 and like, the most was like 500 a month. And you know, I quit doing that to go to college. Now I'm running for, you know, a state senate here in North Carolina, but I'm back to selling. And, you know, Morris Gillette's website has a link to a guy in South Africa. And I was going to do basically the same thing with him, except see if he could get people to move to where, and this is the best map I could get printed of South Africa. And the guy lives in the Northwest province, I think, like in this section of it, but
bear with me here.
Basically,
dynamic
from my understanding, the stat I saw is there's like 600,000 destitute people that live there, and I think they're over in the you know, like Johannesburg in this sort of area. If we can move all the whites in the country from here to over here, you know, who want to, the identity people and the poor people and Christian people who or destitute probably would be more willing to, and basically push all the savages out by just shooting them, but also you could move them. This is you know, the desert. I figure you could fence off like a 5-6 square mile area and just kind of pack them in there and let them starve to death, kind of like how Eisenhower you know, killed prisoners of war in World War II. You'd do the same thing,
huh?
And basically with Oriana already printing its own currency, just keep with that. Now, that'd be one way we can get an independent country. And one, do you think that would work? And, you know, I was just thinking of going back to, like, see if I could send him $50, $60 a month to help build something over there and bring people in. You know, and if you're in that section of the country, you know, then in this western section.
Biv, I got to tell you, you're going to have a hard time living in South Africa. For starters, Some of them white folks over there that you're so fond of speak Afrikaans, and I'd say the chances of you becoming functionally literate in Afrikaans are slim, and Slim just rode out of town for Texas. Did you get the... I mean, just because it comes with the cornpone accent doesn't mean it's any less genocidal. He wants to take all the black folk in South Africa, push them into one place, and start mowing them down with machine guns. Charming, huh? And then the ones that they miss, or if they happen to run out of bullets or some such, he'll just pin them up behind barbed wire and let them starve to death. You know, just because it doesn't come with an elegant German accent doesn't mean it's any less fascist and Nazi. Sometimes Nazis talk like cracker sumbitches. And Biddin's holler is one of them. I'm back to selling. Yeah, I figure I'm going to send him $50-$60 a month, see if he, and then may, and then maybe when he gets his white man's paradise, I can come over there and live among my own kind. Bless his heart. them reporters is almost bad as lawyers. Because see, what happened was before Jim Morrill from the Charlotte Observer called old Biv, he made sure and saved up that there video. So it didn't disappear when old Biv went and disappeared it. I didn't do it. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, hang on a minute. Yeah, hey, I'm back. Yeah, Jim, what can I do you for? Oh, video? Ain't no video. I ain't never made no video about murdering brown people in Africa and creating a white paradise in South Africa. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you look on my YouTube channel, it ain't there. What? You've already got it. You saved it before you called me because you thought I might try some dumbass cracker trick like this? Yeah, I see. Jim, I ain't going to be no state senator, am I? No, then. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's North Carolina people. Good. This might be a drawing card for me. Move whites from east to west in South Africa and push all the... Did you notice the word savages out by just shooting them? Savages. Because they're in Catawba County, North Carolina. I reckon he's... got this vision of a... Huh? Okay, Ron. I'll take your word for it. Bob, you've never obviously never had any of my double egg yolk egg salad made with homemade mayo and Vidalia onions. Dang, that almost sounds tasty. It's an egg thing for me. David in Tennessee noting Bivens holler. You reckon he's a good friend of Valkyrie Fox, the wicked avenging wingnut or pig licking of the U.S. House? You know, he's even uglier than she is. Old Double X Fox. Oh, no worries, Jim. No worries. I'm the one that's been out of position for a week. I don't know, Ron. Is this tool trying to bring back Bantustans? As David Allen Grier says, white people, have you lost your damn minds? There's only one flaw in your reasoning, Ron. One must have a mind to first lose it. And I highly recommend at some point running over Raw Story and seeing this thing. It was posted by David Ferguson yesterday. And what you really want to see is the background for the video of this very serious candidate for the State Senate of North Carolina from Catawba, North Carolina. There is an unmade twin bed in the background with an uncased pillow on it. I guess he was probably having other uses for the pillow case. Maybe the sheets, because they're not in evidence either. Oh, Mama, I can't go to no Klan rally with no sheets with flyers all over them. It's got to be pure white like we are. This is a basement dweller. Bivens holler. Yes, Marty, double X Fox. Yeah, remember the hateful old crone from? No, that's probably the wrong word. I'll get a cranky email. Yeah, Valkyrie, that works. I think David nailed it. Yeah, from North Carolina. I mean, you know, Virginia Fox, Valkyrie Fox, wants to repeal the Department of Education and such like. Yeah. Oh, they're all over, aren't they? Truly they are. Ray noting, you know, if they bring Tarzan back to TV with some radical natives, they're going to F some white folk up. And no, apparently Mr. Cruz, Marty, has not seen Caddyshack. Hadn't that guy seen Caddyshack? Remember what Rodney Dangerfield said about golf courses? Biggest waste of land, those in cemeteries. Ooh, if you buy this hat, do you get a free bowl of soup? But it looks good on you. So, like I said, you know, try to have a little lighthearted fun as we get started on Friday on the front porch. Because God knows there's other stuff. There is, for instance, the continuously emerging details of what of the world of the thus far unnamed U.S. staff sergeant who walked out of his base in Afghanistan and went and slaughtered him some Afghans. It is being reported that booze was involved. Even that seems a little dodgy, though. Okay, so you're liquored up, and you're not supposed to be. But how do you get to go walk about in Afghanistan liquored up? I mean, the sentry at the just go, yeah, get out of here. Go on. Reporting now that he was suffering from stress related to his fourth combat tour. The New York Times also reporting that he was dealing with tensions with his wife about having been deployed. And this really does tell you all you really need to know about this guy. For the fourth time, having been wounded previously in the foot and the leg. An unnamed official said yesterday, and spoke on condition of anonymity, when it all comes out, it'll be a combination of stress, alcohol, and domestic issues. It just snapped. He has been apparently transferred to Kuwait, where he might face trial, or more likely, might face trial at Camp Lewis-McChord back in the States, up in Washington State. The Kuwaitis want him out of their country in a, I mean, hurry. He's a married father of two. It was his fourth combat mission, his first in Afghanistan. A lawyer from Seattle has stepped up to defend this heretofore unknown man. John Henry Brown of Seattle says there were no marital tensions. He said, I know that's not true. He says he's suspicious of the alcohol and stress arguments, save for the fact that anybody in that circumstance would be stressed out. Seems like he's... lawyer John Henry Brown maybe ought to stop helping so much for a little bit, because you want those defenses in place, as opposed to just being a homicidal maniac who decided to go out and slaughter some locals. Lawyer John Henry Brown says the soldier has been decorated many, many times. He's been to Iraq twice, injured twice, deployed back to Afghanistan, career military man. Part of the 3rd Striker Brigade, 2nd Infantry. 3 tours in Iraq with that unit. Had a, what we would call traumatic brain injury, otherwise simply referred to as a concussion, during a vehicle rollover accident caused by a roadside bomb. Lost part of a foot and still got shipped back, complete with traumatic brain injury and some foot missing, and he gets shuffled back into Afghanistan because our military is in tatters. It is shattered. John Henry Brown said the government is going to want to blame this on an individual rather than blame it on the war. It is also being reported that the man, prior to the shooting, a soldier in his same unit had been gravely injured, and that may have played into the circumstance, according to lawyer John Henry Brown, who isn't helping just a heck of a lot.
I was born one morning, the rain a pouring down. Heard my mammy say to my pappy, let's call him John Henry Brown. Walk on, boy. Walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world. She's gonna be good to you. Walk on, boy.
I admit it. It's not just every day you get a reference to John Henry Brown, and when you do, you have to play Walk On Boy by Doc Watson. But there's any number of things you could play in regard to things like this horrible, horrible situation. Ray, right again, with tonight's first movie reference from Dr. Strangelove. God damn it, son, we can't have you going around shooting people. This is a war zone. And Darlene, noting a steady hand. Yeah, not only liquored up, but still coordinated enough to go from house to house and shoot 16 innocent people, and with enough of a steady hand to shoot several children in the head. I guess he holds his liquor pretty well. Jude noting, with regard to Bivens Hollers' video, and the reference to South African people who've been there, oh, you know, 100,000 years or so, as savages. As my mother used to say, when she would make a clear and direct statement when viewing one who was blatantly wrong and speaking ugly thoughts or spouting lies, all you can expect from a pig is a grunt. All you can expect from a pig is a grunt. And it was voiced with deep conviction and strength. Loved her dearly, Bob. Indeed. And I guess that's corollary to never waller with a pig in slop. You both get covered with slop, and the pig likes it. And they do. They do. Honest to God, Jim, I don't think Bivens Holler could afford Donatella Versace's designer clan robes, shit brown with yellow applique, as he suggests, heads protruding from rear end. Which comes first, asked Jim, style or function? Oh, this is... But no, but... And they're all of a piece. You know, whether they're out there having a hissy... I do know who John Henry Brown is. He was most recently famous for having defended the Barefoot Bandit, who recently lost and went to prison. As David in Tennessee knows, famous lost cause lawyer in Seattle defended Ted Bundy. David suggesting play the Stones Shattered for Max Effect. Yes. But I also had this one in the queue. See what you think.
She wears your ring after a
apropos, wouldn't you say? Jason Isbell in the 400 unit, Soldiers Get Strange. There's some telling lines in there. It's not the liquor that burns in your mouth. Right? Yeah. So, thus begins here at a quarter to seven on the East Coast. Thus begins this evening's Friday on the Front Porch, and let us see. You know the phone number, right? The numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. An email comes in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
I got a couple of emails to tell you about that I got.
Okay.
But I'd like to say about the guy from, is it from Texas who wants to shoot down all the...
No, he's from North Carolina. The guy from Texas is afraid that the one world government UN's after his is after his back nine.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little story about the UN here where I come from.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, some of the Polk County commissioners, I shouldn't have said my place, but anyway, the commissioners, they decided to fly a United Nations flag, a United Nations flag, and you can imagine.
Oh, Lord, not down there.
No.
Why not just fly the hammer and sickle and have done with it and get the monkeys all crazy?
Boy, and I know the one of them that was it was our commissioner. She said she was from up north, and she said, "Well, I didn't know anybody felt that way about it." And they took it down, you know, because
people
raised so much fuss about it.
Next thing you know, they'll be all over their right wing radio, hooting and a quacking about how one world government doesn't come to Polk County.
Yeah,
I mean, and you know they did.
Oh yeah. But then the other about the guy from North Carolina or South, was it North Carolina or South Carolina?
North. South Carolina getting a break tonight.
Okay. Anyway, you know, it's people like him that's going to make this world just a wonderful place, aren't they?
Well, no, honest to God, I wish there was somewhere on or preferably off this planet we could send him and his buddies to. You know, Moonbase Whitey or something like that.
Yeah, right. And they can have their way. But, you know, I can just imagine what a horrible place that would be for a woman. You know?
Oh.
Can you imagine? That poor little girl in Morocco, you know, she was...
Oh, mercy. Yeah, that story's out there, too.
Oh, gosh.
But as I saw the story today when I was over at Crooks and Liars, and I think it was our dear friend Susie Madrak who pointed out that while people are getting themselves all up in a froth about, see how them heathen barbarian Muslims are making little girls have to marry they rapist?
Yeah.
Because that's why we've got to make the world safe from Sharia law, right? You know how they are.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Bless her heart, I think it was. It was Susie. I'm scrolling down here. Where is she here? Won't take me but a second. I'll get there. Oh, yeah, it was Susie Madrak. While they're having their little Fox Radio Rwanda hissy about it, and it is a sad and a tragic story, Juanita.
It's horrible.
But she said, you know, where would people get such an idea? And Susie, being no slouch, ran off to Deuteronomy 22, 28, and 29.
Yeah.
If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, it's those Muslims who are crazy and mean.
Of course, yeah.
Look, tribalism is tribalism. And that's not to say all tribalism
that's
is bad.
Right. That's right. You got it right. That's right. I agree with you. But Okay, now I think I said I want to tell you about my two emails. The one email from Nelson, Bill Nelson. This was shortly after the fiasco with the young lady with it, you know, that Rush called all the names and ran it on and on about her.
Yes.
Luke?
Yes.
Well, bless his heart. He wanted us to sign a petition to get, I guess out of the kindness of his heart, Rush to reconsider and do a true apology to her. Can you imagine what a waste of time?
Oh.
What a waste of time to appeal to his better nature or whatever.
Assuming for a moment that he has one.
He ain't got one, no.
See?
Not.
Yes.
And if Nelson don't know that by now, he better learn it. He's running for office again. He better. But anyway.
Well.
Okay, now the other one, this is going to take just a little more time, but I think.
Okay. Take all the time you need.
Okay, the other one I got from Robert Gibbs.
Oh, okay.
And this one I've responded to. I've got it right here. Let me see if it'll come up. I've been having a whole lot of trouble with my computer. I went to the site last night. I was going to listen to the program, and my whole computer went just kerflooey.
Oh, no.
And it was definitely, I never seen anything like it. It was just eating my computer alive. But it found out that it was like a, what you call a thing.
Virus?
Yeah, some kind of virus.
Oh, no.
I've never had one this bad.
Oh, brother. Well, you know, we have found out that the Horn website, as it was us, Bill Press, Truth Out, and a couple of other sites all got hacked on the same day. So this was this was not some sort of accidental takedown.
Okay. Well, I had trouble. I could not get on the show, you know.
Well, sometimes the best bet, I mean, just for you and others, the best bet if you have trouble getting to the show is to simply go straight to the source. Go to whiterosesociety.org.
Well, that's what I'm doing today because I'm afraid to even try.
I don't blame you.
Give my computer just a moment, please. I think you'll appreciate this. This is what it's concerning is about Mitt Romney saying y'all and cheesy grits.
Yeah, and having him a grit.
And the thing is that, now I've never gotten an email from Robert Gibbs before. And, I must have been on some kind of a list saying that I was a Southerner. So I guess he's gonna get all the Southerners together. Now I've got to continue with system resume. Sheesh.
Oh dear.
Anyway, if I send that to you, would you mind reading what he wrote?
No, not at all.
And reading my answer, because I'm just so...
I absolutely will.
Now, the one that I answered back, I left out a little letter, word that makes it mean more when I said something about Obama. But it really was insulting to me because he was assuming that every Southerner was going to go along with him and send him $5. So that's what I'll do. I'll just hang up and I'll have to get this.
Well, okay. I'm sorry you're having problems, but when you get it to me, I will share it. I will for sure.
Can I leave my phone on? Can I leave this on?
And keep listening?
Listen to you, yeah.
Absolutely. You stand by, all right?
Okay, and I'll get that to you as quick as I can because I think you'll appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Juanita. No worries.
Okay.
Here we go. And let's try this then. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
I'm trying to figure out why this George Zimmerman is still walking around after killing this 17-year-old kid.
Yeah, see, that's a problem.
If
you want the real answer.
Well, yeah, I'm being rhetorical here, but it's a bit outrageous. I mean, this kid, not only was he unarmed, but he was like twice as small as this dude. You see, he was he wasn't some, you know, massive. Anyway, the whole thing is disgusting, and the police, they don't have no real reason. I heard an interview. I still don't hear a real reason for why in this country, where if you spit wrong, your ass is locked the hell up, this cracker is walking around because, bites on a little black kid, and he gets to be free after killing him because, he was scared. What the fuck?
But that's what it comes down to, Sandra. In the state, ask the NRA why he's still walking free, because the NRA wants him walking free.
It's starting to. I mean, the people are putting pressure on. I mean, the family and other community people, because they're gonna have to. I don't know how long it's gonna go on like this, because the more I hear about this story, the more I'm like, are you kidding me with this? I mean, this kid had Skittles. Can we just break it down?
Don't forget the bottle of tea.
And he was.
I know.
It's sickening. And even the police told this idiot to stay away from the kid, but somehow the kid got shot point blank dead. And this guy's claiming he was scared and it's self defense. Since when is it self defense when you're armed and the person isn't? Even in Florida, I am confused.
Well, in Florida, simply being scared allows you to stand and blaze, and it doesn't matter if the other person. There's nothing there that qualifies the fear.
I bet if it was the other way around, though, it'd be a different story.
Absolutely. They'd already be heating up old Sparky.
No, but I also bet if that kid was white and he got shot like that it'll be a problem.
Most likely. And this guy was a self-appointed neighborhood captain.
No, it's too much.
Well, it's what happens when people with guns decide that they want authority. And I mean, this guy had self-granted authority, and that drives me crazy, Sandra. He'd walk around the neighborhood armed, and the neighborhood felt safer for him being there. Well,
yeah. Well, anyway, just to get this out, the kid is named Trayvon Martin.
Yes.
And this is in Stanford, Florida. And the person walking around claiming self-defense is George Zimmerman. And it's just like, you know, it's just, what else do you see? I mean, you know, I look at the family members, they just look crazed, you know, just really... disturbed, you know. It's a disturbing situation. 17, I mean, I get it. 17, you're a baby, unless you're a black man, then it's something else, right?
Well, see, I happened to catch a little bit of this on CNN where Anderson Cooper was discussing it, and they posited that the guy with the gun was perhaps intimidated because the little black kid had his hood on his hoodie up over his head. You know, because that's justification for blowing an unarmed teenage black kid or any kid away.
I thought we were in post-racial America because Obama's probably. I'm confused.
Well, I'm pretty much licked on this too.
Which is it? Shit. Anyway,
over at change.org, there is a petition. Yeah. There's a petition making the rounds, and this thing has already hundreds of thousands of signatures demanding that that the guy be investigated and arrested.
Yeah, no, it's too much. It's too much. I don't know. It's really getting to me because it's this country. The justice is just so arbitrary, and unless you're rich, then you get away with everything. If you're a scared white person, I suppose you get away with everything. Unless you're a poor one and you fucked over a white person that's rich, then you're probably going to be in trouble too.
Without a doubt. And, you know, Ray noting, who is in Florida, by the way, ain't no way had the colors been reversed, this guy would be free. No way. And I think we all recognize the reality of that.
Yeah, well, that's the okay. And it's hard not to be flippant about it, except for the fact that this young man is dead.
Dead.
And it's just like, it's like, hello? I don't know. I'm thinking he's not shot up in a hospital. He's dead.
You know what? When in doubt, usually in a case of a shooting, you arrest the guy until you've got some or at least take him into custody.
What?
The 911 tapes are there, Sandra, where the cops are saying, don't move. Don't go anywhere. We are on the way. And you hear him gunning down the little boy on the tape. And he was, you're right, a little boy.
Now, I don't know, I'm just sort of like, I'm just looking at his little picture right here, I'm thinking, are you kidding me with this? I just thought I'd mention that because I'm thinking, I don't see enough action on this.
Well, the mother has said that, she said, I'm at that place where every morning I wake up and I think, oh, the nightmare's over, and then my baby still isn't here, and my baby's still dead.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just am...
You know the first thing I thought when I heard this story, and David in Tennessee sent it to me while I was in D.C., I thought they should probably, and I know this is gross, but this is one of those circumstances where you do what Emmett Till's mama did. And you have the casket open and the wounds visible. And you say, come see what this man with a gun did to my baby. I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know where he lives. I don't know if he's gone into hiding. I don't even know if he's in the state. That's the thing. He ain't in custody. He's free to flee the state of Florida if he wants to.
Yeah.
For all we know, he's up there working with that guy in North Carolina, working to create a white homeland in South Africa. Jesus.
No, it's just, it's just horrifically more of the same. The end result being yet another dead black person. It's just like, when does this ever stop? Anyway, I don't know. I just, hopefully people are aware of this story and can make some contribution to getting it out there, because it's just an outrage. Anyway, if I may shift over to the latest in the white man's burden.
Oh, please.
This fool, got arrested. You heard about him?
You mean the guy from Coney 2012?
Right. His ass was...
running naked
in
San Diego.
Drunk in public, masturbating and vandalizing cars, and they think he was high on something. Yeah, he was high on all that money that was rolling in.
Because, all that money conveys even more white privilege.
Suckers, save your money. It's like horny 2012. Fuck, man.
But that thing is a serious problem, and it's a big old ugly dodge. I got email in from Isaac today. There is suggestion out there now that whole invisible children dodge.
Yeah.
Is run by those anti-gay Africa, Africa for straight people, fundamentalist weirdos.
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely connected with that, but even funnier is they showed that shit in Uganda. They threw rocks at the screen.
No.
Yeah, they was like, oh, hell no. Yes, they did it was an Al Jazeera 2 minute. Shit was funny as hell. They threw rocks. They were like, we don't know. This is not what we, basically saying white portraying blacks in the usual colonial way. And but it was just kind of off the chart. And it's more discovered oil in northern Uganda. I thought that was interesting.
Well, hello. That changes everything.
And also when you think about the 100 advisors, I say in quotes, that was rushed over there at the end of last year from the Obama administration.
Yeah, and let's remember, while everybody got all worked up about this viral video, its essence is a call for the United States to go to war in Central Africa.
And the framing is once again, you know, whitey helping blackie victim meme, you know. And it's just like, oh, God, you know, same old Kipling revisited.
Oh, I'm looking for it right now. There was a piece that our buddy Dr. John sent me that contained 7 tweets from a man named Teju Cole, who is a Nigerian-American novelist. And there was one quote out of that, Sandra, that I'm trying to dig up here because it is such a telling little commentary.
Well,
here it is. What he tweeted was as follows, in his 7 thoughts. Well, okay, here's a couple of them. From Goldman Sachs to Christoph to Invisible Children to Ted, the fastest growth industry in the U.S. is the white savior industrial complex. But then this was the one that put me on the ground. The white savior supports brutal policies in the morning, founds charities in the afternoon, and receives awards in the evening.
Oh, shit. Flash to George Cooney getting his ass
arrested outside the Sudanese embassy.
Listen, that fool goes from state dinner hobnobbing with Michelle to getting arrested, you know, across the way. You know, and it's just like, oh, my God. Next thing you know, he'll be adopting some baby from Africa.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not.
Him.
And then
we got the trend. You know, my favorite is that the latest is, you have homegirl who adopted a African-American baby, Sandra
Bullock.
I used to be married to a fascist, but now I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now Charlene Theron,
yeah, Theron. South African.
She had just adopted a black baby, American black baby.
No, I'm not going to say anything that's going through my head right now because none of it not going to get me in trouble.
Well,
I am. Black baby is the new black.
Well, exactly. You know, black is the new black, and whitey is adopted. Now, I shouldn't be saying nothing because I'm a big believer in adoption or, you know, just taking care of children regardless. So I'm not going to get too hard on it. But it is kind of like, oh, dear God, you know, must I see it when I go to my daily check of TMZ? Yes, I do go there.
that's okay. It's Friday, and we can be a little shallow.
Right.
I got one more of the 7 thoughts on Kony 2012 for you.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. I deeply respect American sentimentality, the way one respects a wounded hippo. You must keep an eye on it, for you know it is deadly.
Ah.
Yeah, this guy it seems to have nailed it. I mean, okay, I'm gonna be bitter for a moment here, Sandra. I need for George Clooney to walk away from the Sudanese embassy and go chuck a rock at the headquarters of maybe, how about Alpha Natural Resources? Now, there's something I could get behind him getting upset and getting arrested over.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems to be a bit obsessive. I don't really know. I don't understand, but I guess we got to hear about it because it's George Clooney.
Yeah, it's like I said last night, when Thomas was calling, he said, he was talking about getting his Coal River Mountain Watch t-shirt that says, Save the Endangered Hillbilly, right? Well, with this work that we're doing with the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign in D.C. right now, a lot of this focuses on this truly horrifying birth defect study that came out of 1.8 million live births, where the woman who doesn't smoke but lives near mountaintop removal is 180% more likely to give birth to a a baby with respiratory problems than a mommy who smokes but doesn't live near mountaintop removal? You know, holy cow.
I can't believe all those are sort of peer review serious studies that are like
and so,
one after another.
And so, you know, one of the things that I've been talking about is maybe it's time to revise that T-shirt to save the baby hillbillies. And maybe it'd be maybe it'd be nice for Mr. Clooney to step up in that fight. I mean, I think it would be appropriate. I think somebody's on your extension, Sam.
Hang up. Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh my God. Well, maybe you can call it, you know, Hillbilly Baby 2012.
Blankenship 2012.
Something, you know. I don't mean to be flippant. That's just, I mean, you know, it's true, and especially this article I read about the use of coal is just sort of crashing in the U.S., and it's all turning into exporting it. So you can't get away from it.
No, and yet for some reason, even though there are massive surpluses in the stockpiles, my bills haven't gone down. Even though coal is, you know, America's cheapest, cleanest, greenest energy resource. I mean, they run ads like that around here, and people go, well, dang, I didn't know that. That's nice to know.
Yeah, sort of like the gas situation in this country.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to call you back.
it sounds like one of the nieces wants to call a pal or something.
Oh, who knows? Okay, sorry about that.
Bye. Oh, no worries, Sandra. We'll talk later. Bye. And such is life with little ones in the house. These things happen. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Okay. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Tom.
Cossack.
How you doing?
Ah, pretty good. How about you?
Rough.
In which regard?
Been a rough day.
Sorry to hear it.
But most of it horizontal.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that great.
Hang in, brother.
Doing the best I can. You know, I was thinking about it, Bob. Looking back on my misspent youth, and all of our youth is misspent, I think.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Yes. I swear to God, I kind of feel like Zelig on occasion. You know?
Where you just get dropped into these moments?
Well, I mean, I was there at the reflecting pool in summer of 53 to hear Martin Luther King. I heard the man. I heard him make a speech. And I see why they had to shoot him.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No.
I mean, that whole everybody live together in peace and harmony and have a fighting chance in this country, that's not what this country's about. Of course, you know, everything contextualizes when you realize what was going on around that speech. For instance, on that August day in 1963 when Dr. King delivered that speech, somewhere a little further, a few blocks away, sequestered in an office with what was probably then early 50s decor, was a semi-corpulent, racially conflicted, badly paranoid man who was trying to destroy Martin Luther King because he was convinced that he was a communist nigra. That man, of course, was at least 1/8 black himself, and was J. Edgar Hoover.
Correct. and he was not that it makes any difference, but you know, the fact that he was gay doesn't, you know, I can't understand how he went after other people for their sexual proclivity.
Well, the closet does hateful things to you.
Him and Clive Tolson.
Yeah. Buried only yards apart.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think Jim has remarked on the fact that, and I don't think he was kidding, that Hoover was buried in a lead-lined casket.
Yep.
What, was he hoping to survive the coming nuclear apocalypse and have his mummy worshipped or something? Crazy, dangerous people.
He was buried under 6 feet of concrete as well, because he didn't want his...
Well, maybe that was an effort to keep him from getting out.
Yeah. Well, we can hope.
I mean, there's some things you don't even want to see at the zombie apocalypse.
No. And, you know, like I said, I was there. When we tried to levitate the Pentagon, and the thing that scared me was they thought we could.
I don't even know how much acid has to be consumed to make that a reality. Because what's the fallback position? Okay, we didn't levitate the Pentagon, but we levitated, so we win.
Yeah. But, you know, the people in the Pentagon were afraid that we could do it. That's the frightening part.
Yeah, the guys who stare at goats group was saying, I wonder if they can pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, you said you feel a little like Zelig because, you know, you were, and you did, you grew up in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
And you see these things, and yet, on a crappy day for you in mid-March 2012, you look up and you hear stories about, people like, our buddy in North Carolina, who wants to ethnically cleanse South Africa.
What is wrong with these people?
And you wonder, yeah, where did all that go?
I don't know. When you were, I mean, this is the thing. When we were having demonstrations, they weren't riots. They became riots when the cops began to shoot rubber bullets at us and throw tear gas. That's when it got to be a riot.
Right.
You know, you're peacefully standing there with a sign.
And the cops come and beat your ass. Yeah, it's right. How many times did that happen in the late 60s into the early 70s where, it was not the people who rioted, it was the cops.
Correct. I mean, after my first demo, I got to the point that I brought a welder's glove with me and a World War II surplus gas mask. And I was in charge of pitching the canisters back.
Yeah, they do get hot when they ignite.
Yes, they do. But, I mean, these people are insane. We're not doing anything. We weren't doing anything.
But by God, Cossack, they're going to make sure we don't have any more of that, because now, if the Secret Service happens to be, you know, in charge of security, even if you don't know that the Secret Service is in charge of security, your ass can be arrested for a felony.
Yeah, as a terrorist.
Right.
Well, you're a terrorist, Bob.
Really?
Earn these people's lives. Yes.
No, well.
But you bring terror into these people's lives because you're shining the light of truth on them.
I always thought it was supposed to be a disinfectant.
It is, but the people you're trying to disinfect have a nasty tendency of curdling up in the sunlight.
True, true, true. Well, are you getting a little bit of relief, Cossack? Is it getting any better?
Slowly but surely.
Well, I hope your weekend rounds out a little bit better for you, brother.
It would be nice.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'd say don't give up, but I don't know what there is to give up on. No, I understand what you talk about. I'm not of an age where I could have been to at those places at those times. And even if I were of the same age as you, I would have been, you know, doing probably something in Northwest Alabama or maybe here. But I'm constantly struggling with this thing where I don't understand. I do, and at the same time, I don't understand how we get from point A to point what the f- now. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I do get it.
Like, it's like, I always look back pleased with myself when I remember that I knew Bobby Kennedy. I actually rode up a couple of flights in an elevator with Bobby Kennedy. We started talking, and he got me into the Senator's only elevator, and we kept on talking. Brilliant man.
Absolutely. Inspiring man. Another one of those little diversions on the web of time, because we all understand it's not linear, it's web-like. Cossack, have a better weekend, brother. Take care.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye now.
All right.
The Cossack calling from North Florida. Hey, welcome to the program.
Wolf.
Wolf indeed. What's up, Jim?
You. So did you find any great places to eat in D.C. this time?
I've got an eye for little dives. And I found a,
really?
Yeah, I found a great little just nondescript Chinese carryout place that was nothing short of wonderful.
Lord, you should have been there in the day of Sweet Georgia Brown's to talk about your old food. My God.
Oh, mercy.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed.
But it was a beautiful time, Jim. And as I noted last night, it's the damnedest thing when you're in Washington, D.C., on the 13th of March, every tulip in town has bloomed, every jonquil is out, the tulip trees are coming out, and the cherries are already blooming.
Oh yeah, and they'll have the ceremony, God willing, when the Japanese ambassador will come to the edge of the tidal basin and light the lamp.
Right.
It's very nice. It really is.
I just hope that the other shoe doesn't drop and the big freeze comes, because
Who knows?
80 degrees in downtown D.C., 85 degrees in downtown D.C. on the 14th of March is a little bit strange.
You know, Bob, I have taken this particular perspective just about everything, and it's what Hitler's secretary used to tell him. Mein Führer, it will either rain or it will not rain. It either will or it won't.
That's true, and sometimes translated in places down south as if it rains we won't play ball.
Well, I think that just applies to just about everything, Bob. I really do. That's just my personal thing, and I'm not trying to.
No, I understand.
Size, but that's just the way I feel. Either will or won't. It's 50-50. But going back to J. Edgar Hoover, you know, it's very interesting how he got his start. You know, his father was locked away in a lunatic asylum.
Yes.
And, you know, he always had this fear of going crazy. And he got his start, of all places, in the Library of Congress.
That's true. That was his first job, wasn't it?
Yeah. And, of course, being as a lowly entry position in the LOC, he became quite familiar with the card catalog and how everything was placed and how files were kept. And that particular experience when he was a lowly clerk at the Library of Congress served him in good stead for his own arcane purposes. Because he sure kept a hell of a lot of cards, that's for damn sure.
Well, and he carried that whole theoretical framework over to the concept of the FBI Criminal Investigation Division.
Well, you know, when you run an organization like that, because before Hoover took it over, it was known as the Bureau of Easy Virtue. I mean, the FBI was one of the most corrupt agencies of all. And in spite of my dislike for Hoover and what he did do some positive things just from an organizational standpoint. Now, what he did with this information is what galls me. But he was so insecure about his own origin, being his, you know, his father's insanity, and his mother, whom he absolutely worshipped. I mean, he had a very weak and recessive father, who may have been dominant before they locked him away at St. Elizabeth or wherever, and a very doting mother. So, I mean, you know, I guess that his mother had given him all the feminine attention he wanted. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not a psychiatrist. I can't speak with any credence on that. But, you know, it's just a personal theory of mine. But he certainly, oh, my Lord, as far as files on people.
Well, and but he became absolutely, in anybody else, what would be certifiably insane over people like Dr. King.
Now, he didn't like Martin Luther King. Bob, he wasn't insane over Dr. King. He was just angry about Dr. King. I mean, you know, Hoover knew right from wrong, because he could always point out to other people upon whom he kept these files how they had strayed from right to wrong. And he knew right from wrong. He wasn't insane. He just enjoyed putting wiretaps in other people's bedrooms. And that was his thing. I understand he used to play those tapes of King in motels, you know, at parties and stuff. I mean, but I can imagine who would go over to J. Edgar Hoover's house for a party. I mean, you know the story about when he found a load of some feces on his front doorstep, don't you?
No.
Well, he thought that someone was mad with him and had left a load on his front doorstep. And, I mean, this was like, you know, late at night, and he had called the people over there and had them design a special trap to ensnare or to see what was going on. And hell, he killed the neighbor's cat.
I was going to say, they got the dog or the, yeah.
Sure did. And as far as being buried in a lead coffin, yeah. And when his body was taken out of the Capitol Rotunda, it was taken by 8 servicemen, and I think 4 of them sustained ruptures.
Gee whiz.
Mm-hmm.
And very few people attended the funeral, is that correct?
I don't know how many. I think, who knows? I'm sure Clyde Tolson was there, and I'm sure it may have been a command performance for members of the government and things like that, because, I mean, I think if anybody attended it, they just wanted to make sure the old bastard was dead.
Yeah, just go up and poke him a couple of times?
Well, just to be sure, is he really gone, or is he pulling a fastball on us? Because knowing him, you know.
Yeah, maybe throw a few garlic bulbs in the casket?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, it would be more of like a stake through the heart to keep him pinned to earth the way they used to try to keep vampires down back in the Carpathians. That's what they would do. They would bury people who were suspected of vampirism with a stake to keep them pinned to the earth so they couldn't rise again and come around and see what your blood type was. But nonetheless, Hoover was quite an interesting person. And, you know, back in those days when he and people like McCarthy were in their ascendancy, I mean, you know, Hoover basically, I'm sure a few of McCarthy's furnished with a lot of stuff.
Probably no doubt.
But, you know, you go back to McCarthy, you go back to Roy Cohn and people like that. And, you know, I'm not trying to be an iconoclast here. But, I mean, Bobby Kennedy was the one who wanted to get on McCarthy's committee as chief counsel and was beaten out by Roy Cohn.
I'll be darned.
Yes, sir. Bobby Kennedy, and of course, Joe Kennedy, the old man, and Joe McCarthy were good friends, good Irish Catholic buddies, and he wanted to give Bobby a chance to practice some law. And so basically, McCarthy was presented with one of two choices, either Roy Cohn or Bobby Kennedy.
And under the circumstances,
he chose Roy Cohn.
Right.
Because Roy Cohn had a lot of experience with the Rosenbergs and things like that. And, you know, Roy Cohn enjoyed being mean to people.
Yeah, enjoyed destroying people.
Yeah, I mean, for example, he had a friend in Provincetown who lived next door to Norman Mailer, okay? And Roy Cohn loved Provincetown. Of course, it's a gay mecca on the East Coast. I mean, it's the San Francisco of the East Coast almost, really. You ever been to Provincetown?
No, I have not.
It's a lot of fun, particularly on 4th of July.
I'm not sure. We may actually be heading up toward Providence this June for Netroots Nation, so maybe we'll get to drive around a little bit.
Well, Provincetown's just on the end of the island. There are two streets, Mechanic and Commerce. That's about all there is to it. But, I mean, a lot of literati have lived there. I mean, good Lord, Norman Mailer had a home there, Eugene O'Neill.
I was going to say Eugene O'Neill because doesn't Provincetown figure, you remember the Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton film, Reds?
Yeah.
Aren't there scenes from Provincetown, in there? And that's along about the time that Eugene O'Neill.
John Ray lived there for a while.
Seduces Louise Bryant.
Yeah, John.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
No.
I just lit a cigarette, but nonetheless. Yeah, John Ray lived there, and, of course, when I was there, I picked up a number of books about Provincetown and available on all the bookshops. It's just a fascinating place. But anyway, going back to Roy Cohn had wanted to get some property there. And this guy who left, I think this guy's name was Peter Manso. Don't correct me on that. I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. I think his name was Peter Manso. Anyway. Cohn told him he was going to buy the garage apartment next to this guy's house. And nonetheless, Roy one day left a message on this guy's answering machine. He said, he told Peter Manso, I'll leave a message on your machine. And the message was, hi, you've reached the residence of blank, 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 and if you don't leave a message, I'll come and get you. This is Roy Cohn.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Holy cow.
And if you really want to read a book about him, you ought to read that book called Citizen Cohn by Nicholas von Hoffman. And there was a good movie in which, God, I don't know who played Roy Cohn. I can't remember. But it basically goes throughout his life when he's in one of the institutes of health, and his days are numbered.
Yeah, our buddy Ray just wrote in to note that Hoover, Nixon, Dulles's, Joint Chiefs, lots of paranoid people walking around D.C. in the 60s.
Well, like I say, Roy Cohn and J. Edgar Hoover, because Roy Cohn was one of Hoover's go-boys at one time.
Yep.
You know the story about Neil Gallagher of New Jersey, Congressman Neil Gallagher, don't you?
Yes.
You know what happened there? I mean, he basically had sent Roy Cohn over to this congressman's house and said, you know, you got to play boss with J. Edgar Hoover, and this congressman said no. And then in Life magazine came a whole story about the mafia burying bodies in Gallagher's basement, and he was up for re-election that year. And his reply was, he said, you know, I have 1 hour from like 12 to 1 or 1 to 2 in which I can get up and speak about anything you want to speak. And I'm going to talk about you and Clyde Tolson, how you take your vacations together, how you live as man and wife, and how you go to the Greenbrier, as long as you're hangouts, and diddle each other at the public's expense. Needless to say, it was the only time he did it, but Jedgar pulled a retraction, or made a retraction.
Pulled a punch.
Yeah, he sure, because he knew he had been dead to rights. And one of the few times that Hoover was hoisted on his own petard. So as far as his sexuality and this, that, and the other is concerned, and what one of your previous callers said about gays hurting other gays, Bob, it's some type of self-loathing, and I don't know if it's because they want to be straight, or it's because they feel ashamed of what they are, or because they can't admit what they are, and because their own inner psyche hurts them so much, there's only one way that they can achieve any type of legitimate compensatory behavior, and that is to hurt other people of the same persuasion. Does that make sense?
I think that's a fair analysis. Jim, have yourself a good weekend.
You too.
Very fair analysis indeed. Take care. Bye now. Our good buddy Jim. And we roll onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Yes.
Is it me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hey. Yeah, now who's that? Jeez, the first time I've ever called any kind of a real radio program at all, so I may be the first one you lose.
Ah, no, we haven't lost one yet, so just the first thing for conversational
before,
purposes.
Yeah, what happened?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, anyway, well, I said if you hear me hit the floor, you'll know what happened.
Yeah, we'll, I don't know, we'll dial back. No, I can't do that either.
All right, anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, it is. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. How about a name? First name.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm working on it.
Oh, okay.
It is Saturday morning here. I don't have a front porch, but I do have a feather in my cap.
Oh, Horst.
The rain. Yeah, that's me.
Okay, cool.
I guess that would probably be the best way to keep it straight.
Well, feather in your cap. No, that's a dead giveaway.
No, yeah, I thought you'd probably get that pretty fast. So, how's stuff?
Pretty good. Lovely, lovely night, lovely day here. Waiting for the other shoe to drop and get about 6 feet of snow, just at the worst possible time. You know, it's that time of year. And
yeah.
You know,
am I coming through?
Yeah, you're coming through great. You sound nice.
Okay, I'm on Skype. I've never used it for this kind of a call before, so I can't really.
Well,
tell.
whatever kind of a headset you're using, it's quality.
Oh, yeah, great, terrific. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been a little slack on the clips lately. Sorry about that.
Well, I figured maybe I was slack on being clip-worthy.
No. To be honest, though, you don't make it easy, Bob. I got to tell you. You get going on a subject, I'm like, okay, hey, here we go.
No, I'm not made for YouTube, because I can't say my name in 14 minutes.
No, I know the feeling. And I can't, you know, I'm so indecisive on these things. Like, a good one will get gone, be like, okay, here we go. And then it's like 25 minutes later, like, man, I can't find a cut point on this thing. You know, if I can sit down for like 2 hours or so and do some deep surgery, I can pull something out. But these days, I just don't have the time. occasionally, one gets through, though. But yeah, it's good stuff. It's good listening anyway. I just have to work on it. I had that factory job for a little bit, but I'm not there anymore. But I got into school here, so I've been really busy with that lately. So I just don't have as much time as I used to. But I'm working on it.
Cool. What's the course of study?
I got back into Chinese language study.
Oh, wow.
For some reason, it's taken me like... Oh, yeah. Well, I've been here for, like, what, 10 years or something. It's getting pretty old not being able to handle an adult conversation, so.
Well, you know, one of the things I've been raving for the past few days, well, I haven't been here for the past few days, but I've raved several times in the last several shows about this book that I'm in the middle of by Charles Mann called 1493. And I love
it. Yeah, you got me all ready to dig that one up.
Yeah, go get it. Because one of the things that I found particularly fascinating out of it is I love it when I run across something that gives me information that I had no idea I even wanted to know. And so I'm learning the history of the Spanish Chinese origins of the Spanish Chinese trade network with Spanish silver for Chinese silk and porcelain. And my God, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about the Spanish flooding the world market with cheap silver or something, right? I had no idea about any of that, and I sure didn't know there was a Chinese connection.
And the Chinese connection really takes shape at what is now Manila in the Philippines. Where the Chinese first met the Spanish and vice versa, and neither of them particularly cared for the other, but saw the people on both sides saw the possibilities. Endless possibilities for smuggling and illicit trade and the global bloodshed that flowed out of it. It is absolutely mind-boggling to read.
Well, that was about the beginning of the Buccaneer period too, wasn't it?
That's
the region anyway.
Well, when we think about pirates, or at least around here, when we think about pirates, Horst, we think about the Blackbeard and the Spanish Main and doubloons in the Caribbean and Jack Sparrow and all of that Hollywood crap. But the Chinese coast, I can't even pronounce the names, but there's a bay that is to the east of, or to the west of and opposite Taiwan that was just a hive of piracy activity. And it was pirates all the way to the Philippines. And it's just stunning.
Well, and I think also, now, we're talking about the late 1400s, early 1500s, right? So around that time, I guess that's when the Portuguese were getting really active over here, too.
And the Portuguese are involved, but they're tangential, and they're trying to maintain a toehold. It is a book, and it covers so many different topics. It's a book that is absolutely worthy of being on anyone's bookshelf. Of course, the other side of that is I also recommend reading its predecessor, 1491.
1491, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I heard you talk about that one first, and that sounds endlessly fascinating, too. If not a little depressing, but...
Well, and this is there's no small amount of depression in this, too. When you realize what was done in the Potosi silver mines of what is now Bolivia... Holy cow.
Oh.
It was one of the largest, richest cities on earth, and it was nothing but pure. And like I said last night, if you really want to see where Ayn Randian anarcho free market capitalism goes, study that era of history.
Right. No rules at all, I guess. And also, just on the subject of dropping, dates from the 1400s, you mentioned a while back, you read, or at least parts of the 1421, right?
Yes, I did. I read the whole thing.
The guy that had the theory that the Chinese were all over the place. Yeah,
Book has some reference to that as well. Although he doesn't.
A lot of that seems pretty highly plausible to me, but,
that fleet actually really did exist.
It did, and there's no records of it now because they let it rot in the harbor when they got back, apparently. They thought heaven was mad at them for burning Beijing, the other way around. Burn Beijing because the emperor overreached himself or something. I can't quite remember.
There's a photograph in 1493. I didn't realize it, but for the Beijing Olympics, Chinese government built a full-scale replica of one of the treasure ships. Yes.
Man.
And it was...
I saw
Well, there were people in it, photographs of, the crowd around the ship, and the people are just tiny compared to it. The thing was mammoth. It was the biggest ship ever... It was the biggest ship built until about the 20th century, I think.
Yeah, well, when the book came out over here, it created quite a stir, as you can imagine. A lot of the locals didn't have any idea that, I mean, they'd heard of the emperor, I guess, and, well, obviously. And I think his chief eunuch, a dude named Zhu Yi or something like that, if I remember right.
Yeah.
The guy who was in charge of the fleet. So that made a pretty good big stir. I saw a local magazine. I was going to school at that time, too, like 5 or 6 years ago. And my professor had had a magazine that showed, like, a scale model of, like, one of these, you know, just a standard ship. I guess they kind of followed a pretty standardized template for that. And they showed the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria, like, in, you know, in, to scale.
Yeah, which were, like, bathtub like rubber ducks in comparison.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was like a joke. I mean, like... Yeah, that was the first hint I had of the size of these things. It's like, geez, I mean, not really sure. That probably dwarfed Noah's Ark, you know, if you take those things literally, which you shouldn't, but, you know. but anyway.
But this is a book worth owning.
You really got me. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
It really is a book worth owning. I try to read a chapter or so a night. I got absolutely immersed in the Anopheles mosquito, and my mind is still spinning from that.
Now, you reminded me yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, well, on your Ides of March thing. This time last year, you were talking about Michael Perini, and I went and ordered that book, like, oh, wow, that sounds terrific. So I got that one. It's been sitting on my shelf for a year, and I still haven't got to it, and that reminded me yesterday. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's going to be a quick read, too. That doesn't take any time at all, and it is...
Yeah, well, I actually cracked it open, like, well, what's holding me back? It's, like, got nice big print. It's only got 200 pages. And for some reason, I just hadn't got to it. I got more books here than, several times my weight anyway, and most of them I haven't even read yet. This is kind of, I'm more of a collector when it comes down to that. But yeah, that's one I want to get into too. That sounds terrific. I get more good book recommendations off this show, books and TV and culture of all sorts.
Yeah, from a program that claims to hate television, but yeah.
Well, I do hate television. I can't understand it here, and it's pretty dumb from what I gather, but... But if I was back in the States, I probably would be watching a lot more, to my detriment.
Well,
but there's good stuff out there.
But you do like so many we've got a sizable expatriate population, and you do stand on the outside looking in. And I mean,
for sure. I've been out here for so long. You think it looks like a madhouse from there?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It really must look like monkeys flinging poo in the zoo from where you are.
Oh, it seriously does. I mean, every year that passes by, I get more afraid of coming back or going back. If that day ever comes, I don't know. I got a 4-year-old now. Well, he's almost 5, and, you know, I want him to know his American heritage, too. But, God, I don't know where to find it anymore.
Well, and see, that's the I've mentioned it before, and that's the eternal debate here. When the frustration tolerance dips into the critical zone, and Agnes and I have that conversation about go somewhere else, and we eventually find ourselves saying, but there's nowhere else to go in the United States that the crazy isn't there.
Well, not even the United States. I mean,
we're running out of planet.
It's pretty close to this with the democracy for, like, what? I mean, I could tell you, for instance, you got a law degree. You could teach at the university level here in Taiwan, but, you know, would you want to? I mean, like, it's not exactly, you know, fresh and clean out here either, as far as that goes.
Well, no, that's what I'm afraid of. You know, you get out, and I'm no xenophobe, and I'm certainly not afraid of trying new things, but I can see myself getting into a culture where, you know, I sneeze and cover my mouth with my left hand instead of my right and wind up getting 30 lashes for it. You know, I know I ain't never going to Singapore.
Oh, jeez, no.
You know, chewing gum on the right side instead of the left. You know, you heathen anarchist, die.
Oh, here comes the cane. You watch out, pal.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Taiwan's pretty relayed that back, but as far as that stuff goes, I mean, you could do everything here except take your shirt off in public, pretty much.
Wait, what? You can't take your shirt off in public in Taiwan?
You can. They just don't like it. They don't like man nipples. I don't know what to
Okay, well, there's tonight's first toaster, man nipples.
Oh, man. Oh, actually, okay. Totally unpremeditated, folks.
Oh, no, you weren't toaster trolling. It was pretty obvious.
Boy, well, okay. I'm going to put a notch on my belt over there since I can find it.
Hey, honey, I got the toaster. What?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, since I'm here, what was I going to say? See, here, I'm about to hit the floor again. I done got lost here.
Now, I want to take a moment, and this is not making sport of you. Dude has been in Taiwan for 10 years and just said, done got lost. I'm so proud. I am.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm not even, I don't know. It's no big secret. I'm from Oklahoma. That's where I spent my time in the States, which is one reason why I haven't been back in 10 years. But I don't even know what to call it, because you referred to the cornbread curtain. I think I'm not really sure what we got over there. I used to call it the Protestant nightmare, and I don't know. That was my little pet term for it. But yeah, it does. It gets under your skin, and I notice.
I don't know. Oklahoma's kind of like the stolen reservation, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess the reservation that nobody wanted to go. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't mean to make light of a desperately, painful situation, but when they referred to the Trail of Tears ending up in Oklahoma, I thought it had to do because nobody wanted to be there, I was like, well, God, I don't blame them, It was a pretty...
I'd cry, too, right.
That's kind of how I felt, and I thought, well, I wasn't even joking. But, yeah. So, yeah, one of the last states to join the... we missed the Civil War. So, as far as that goes, so is it the South? I don't think so, but I'm not really sure what you do call it.
I think the handiest thing now for that horse is to, it's Jesus land.
Yeah, well, there again, I thought that we were the buckle of the Bible Belt, too, but I guess everyone's kind of claiming that dubious distinction. I don't know. Really.
Well, no, that's the thing. The Bible Belt is all buckle.
It's all buckle, yeah. Well, hey, belts in Oklahoma are all buckle, too, come to think of it. There's an analogy for you.
And, I mean, there's no part of the Bible Belt that hits you and it don't hurt.
Oh, that's for true, yeah. Oh, I did it again, didn't I? All right, look, I'm going to stop this. I want to ask a question about Cold River Mountain Watch.
Yes.
You have some affiliation with them. You mentioned something about, I don't know how to become a member there.
It's really just more of a matter of going and signing up for the newsletter. I mean, it's not like they sell memberships or anything.
I didn't know if there was like something you signed up for or not. Like, I don't want like a button or anything like that. But I'm on like a monthly contributor thing. But I thought, well, okay, I'll start getting something in the email, and I never did. I was like, well, I guess I did it wrong. But I'm on that anyway. But.
We do have a website. It is still in its infancy, but we do have a website for the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign. That's at stoptheache.org.
Oh, stoptheache.org. Okay, I think I can remember.
And as we hopefully as we go forward, we will have more and more content there. I hope that this thing turns out to be the huge national push that we need to finally just end this.
Boy, I'm with you on that. Did you say this last trip to Washington was like kind of your inaugural kickoff thing?
Well, we've made two trips so far. The inaugural was the one I was on 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I see.
And then this one was a bit of a follow-up. And once we get all the groundwork laid, then hopefully more and more people will be going and pounding the marbled halls of Congress. As well as administrative agencies to raise the awareness of, the horror that's happening to the baby hillbillies.
I missed today's program notes, too. You're about to take off again, right? Back up to Washington for...
That'll be a broadcast situation, at least. There'll be content on Monday and Tuesday. I'll probably stay and do some ache work on Wednesday and Thursday, back Friday.
Uh-huh. So you're out next week, too, then?
No, not next week.
Part of it?
The week following.
Oh.
I'll be leaving here a week from Sunday and driving up to D.C., hopefully in time to, among other things, pick up Malloy at the airport if he needs a ride.
Like a lot of fun.
Yeah, back a year ago, we established the tradition of me being Malloy's wheelman back when he was getting arrested.
The arrest situations?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you got to hand it to that guy. He really steps up.
Well, one of the reasons I admire Mike so much is he walks the walk, and that's
for sure.
you know, if you're, you know, if you're a jiggling OxyContin addicted gas bag, just the slandering people behind the microphone, and you don't do anything except that you can't. I don't think as progressives, I don't think we can operate that way, Horst. Because you can't
just doesn't seem to work for us, for one thing.
Well, and
it's a different paradigm.
And for those of us who were dipped by the heel in some sort of Christianity at an early age and actually had it take on us, and then we realized what a fraud was being perpetrated, there is stuff in there that makes sense. And I would never dare to speak for anybody but myself, but one of those things that they drill into your little tiny mind down there in the basement of the Baptist church with the blue-haired ladies is, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
it only takes like about, you know, 5 or 6 years of age growing up in one of those institutions for the inherent contradictions to start hitting you full force. You know, you learn what questions not to ask pretty early on in Sunday school, I'll tell you that.
Oh, ain't that the truth? What about Judas? Don't. If you're 5 years old in the basement of the Baptist church, don't ask that question.
I was lucky. I got off pretty light. I was the United Methodist, which is pretty tame compared to what the neighbors were up to most of the time.
Did the women have that big old hair piled up to Jesus?
No, I just got the frosty silence. I didn't get, like, kicked out or nothing. But, you know, like,
that frosty silence can be pretty damning, too, though.
Giving your goods to the poor and going out and spreading the word. Well, what about that again? Oh, we don't do that? And, right, okay. Well, that's probably a bit more obnoxious about it because that's just how you do. I guess in that part of the world, I don't know. But since I'm here, can we handicap the election a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right, because we got this ongoing thing with the Jeb bet, and I got to touch base with you on that a little bit, I think. What's your thoughts on that recently?
You know, if Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, would swallow his ego, which I recognize is near impossible.
I think he's got that. Rush Limbaugh couldn't swallow his ego, I don't believe.
Right. But if he would get out and let the frothy one go forward and consolidate all the weirdos, well, wait a minute, not all the weirdos. Some of the weirdos are following the doggone car. They're all weirdos. But I still think there's potential for a floor fight at the convention, because one of the things that plays into this is the proportionate awarding of all of these delegates.
Yeah, I've been trying to find out how that works. I mean, like, I think, to add insult to injury, I think they keep changing the rules, like, every time they have an election, right? So this time around, I was starting to get a grasp on it 4 years ago, and this time I got no clue how they even award these things. And plus, you've had, like, the Tea Party infiltration since then. And because they're really, you know, where they're really strong is infiltrating the grassroots and getting down, you know, I can't remember what you called the various little posts that you get into at the local levels there, but I mean
Grand Dragon,
that's where they're really taking Grand Wizard, something like that, isn't it? Or I don't know. But I mean, like, you know, they must have some kind of toehold on who gets sent as delegates to the convention, right?
Well, that's all a ballot process of a sort. But what gets fascinating is, I guess these proportional delegation assignments are only good for one round.
Well,
and then if you don't get a nominee on round one, then it gets real fun.
Right. Well, I mean, okay, so at the convention, you're going to have party people, you're going to have establishment delegates, and you're going to have a certain amount that comes from the. From the salt of the earth, I guess. I just don't know exactly how much control one group has over the other. But, like, you could, you know, early off in the beginning, I thought there was a possibility that, you know, someone like Ron Paul might actually show up to have more strength at the convention because of things like that.
Well, no, I thought it was telling that in both Mississippi Stan and Alabama Stan, Horst, poor old cranky Ron Paul couldn't cross the 10% barrier. And that's...
Well, yeah, I guess... He was supposed to do real well, like in the caucus states too. And as far as I can tell, he barely could pull over 7% anywhere he goes.
And the conventional wisdom all along was that pissed off Republican who wants to smoke dope Republican element was never going to be more than any that more than 20% of any given primary's potential electorate. And I think that's showing up to be true, especially in a place like Alabama Stan and Mississippi Stan.
Well, I mean, I think anybody, we all knew that he had like a hard ceiling. He's just trying to figure out where that is. And again, you know, especially with the rules for the delegates and stuff like that, I'm a little surprised he didn't show better than he has, but whatever. At the same time, I'm not. Santorum surprises me. But then again, I think that's just how deeply unpopular Romney is with the,
but it's not just that. Dr. John in New York sent me an article last night from The Atlantic.
Uh-huh.
And the title of it is, Are Mormons Keeping Mitt Romney Afloat? And the subhead on it, Horst, is, His victories in the Pacific Islands and American West show the power of a strong minority to boost a weak candidate in low turnout contests. And so in a situation where only 9 or 10% of the potential voters are going to show up, if you get a whole bunch of the black pants, white shirt, skinny tie, bicycle crowd in there, you can sort of shoulder your way to the top. But in a place, especially in places like American Samoa and Guam.
Samoa, right. Well, who knew they had so many Mormons out there?
Well, the Mormons colonized and proselytized like crazy out there.
Yeah,
and you know I think it was only because they liked the real estate, because they never did really consider these folks to be fully human. Remember, it took till 1975 for them to decide that brown-skinned people could get their own planet, or at least a part of one.
Was it all brown-skinned people, or just the African Americans? Because I'm only peripherally aware of that situation. I only heard about that when Romney became a candidate. But
I mean, this thing, you know what the Haka is, right?
Well, for sure. Well, kind of. Yeah, my wife is partially one.
Yeah, the Maori tribal dance. They do it at rugby matches and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, this article at The Atlantic, and it just created a one of those mental pictures that was that required the administration of over-the-counter medications. It says there are six kids in white shirts and black ties standing in a line. One steps forward and dances around the others, hissing and sneering like a bobcat. He moves to the front on the chorus, and the boys start slapping their thighs in a steady 1-2-3, 1-2-3 rhythm. The leader cries, "Grab the book!" No, really, you might want to sit down for this, Horst. The leader cries,
I'll sit on the floor.
Yeah, "Grab the book from your pants!" They pull out a black book, 1-2-3. "Slap the book on your chest!" They slap away, 1-2-3. "Read the book! Read the book! Pray! Pray!" 1-2-3. "We've got the gospel. You get it. You get it?" Then they step towards the camera and wave their hands. "You come walk in the waters with me." It's the Book of Mormon Haka.
Are there like pom-poms involved in this? It sounds like some kind of a...
Well, there's if you go to Atlantic and go to the Atlantic, theatlantic.com and look for "Are Mormons Keeping Mitt Romney Afloat?" There is a link.
Oh, this is a new one?
Yeah, there's a link to this on YouTube. And, fortify yourself before viewing.
This is one of those things that probably defies description. I can't wrap my head around what you're telling me.
But apparently there's a whole subset of Mormon Hakas on YouTube.
Jeez.
Let's see.
That part, guys, going to be pissed off about this. They didn't even put that in their musical.
Yeah, no kidding. Mormon elders Hopoate and Ofahulu in Australia have a real showstopper Mormon haka, apparently.
Jiminy.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. And this is a big chunk of what is keeping that freak afloat. You know, doggone car.
Well, okay, sure.
Willard.
And especially, no doubt, he's being helped tremendously by the fact that this apparently, by all yardsticks, is like, just ridiculously low voter turnout. I mean, what are they getting, like 5% of the registered voters in most states or something? I mean,
yeah, nobody's excited.
I mean, and this is why I don't even know who I'm rooting for on that side. I still think, since Santorum is there, I guess he's, from a Democratic perspective, He's got the best we have left. I mean, Gingrich would be awesome, but you know, he's burned out for good this time. He's not coming back except just to cause trouble for everybody else. But Santorum, what I like about him, having him on the ticket, is he can't help himself with this culture war business. You know, I mean, you talk about someone who can drive the women voters to the polls. That's your man, because he can't shut up. I mean, like, Romney's only making the sounds he is just to keep up with the base, just enough to make sure everyone knows that he's a conservative.
Right, and he's going to shut down Planned Parenthood.
Oh, for sure, right. Yeah, well, he'll talk about it as long as he just absolutely has to, but as soon as he's got the nomination sewn up, you're not going to hear another word about it. Because, you know, the people that he's working with there are smart enough to know. It's like, ixnay on the, you know.
Ixnay on the and Planned Parenthood pay, okay?
Right, right. But Santorum, you just get up there and, like, he's like speak and say kind of thing. You just turn the dial on him, he yanks his own cords.
Well, it's like the thing in Puerto Rico. He's cruising along, he's doing okay, he's making mumbly Republican noises, and the next thing he's frothing at the mouth and screaming about how everybody's got to learn to speak English on an island that's been speaking Spanish since 1494.
What's up? You guys have a different word for everything out here. Yeah.
Jesus, that reminds me of back when George Bush was meeting with... who was it? Jose Maria Aznar, the Prime Minister of Spain, and he said,
"Oh, and
this is a true story. This is just one of those great moments in Bush that should never be forgotten. Right up there with fish and people can coexist." No, the English speaking president looks at the Spanish speaking Prime Minister of Spain and says, "You know what the problem with the French are? They don't have a word for entrepreneurship."
Oh, God. Yeah, I do remember that. I forgot who he told it to, but... Right. Yeah, they don't have a...
The French don't have a word for the word that is French.
Right, yeah, I don't have a word for fromage either. Or whatever.
When everybody knows its real name is queso, I like the queso blanco.
Right. Okay, every little now and then I do kind of miss the guy, but only for comedy purposes.
Right. Yeah.
These days it's not even funny.
But you know what? When you've got this Cruz creep out in Texas hollering that the one world government UN's trying to shut down Burning Tree Golf and Country Club, and he won't be able to take his mashy niblets out on Saturday.
Was that the Bivens Holler thing you were doing?
No, that wasn't Bivens Holler. That was Mr. Cruz.
Oh. Okay, I had computer. My computer now, it takes like 5 minutes to run the post check, and before it even comes up, I don't know the deal. So it took me like 30 minutes to get booted up and on the show. So I missed like about that much of the program getting started. So I'm not really up to
speed. Yeah, the UN's after golf courses now, and where?
Terrific. Well, of course.
And where will Republicans mate if there are no golf courses?
No, I don't know. I guess they have to. Ricky Martin concerts? I don't know. No.
Okay, that's good. That's good for chrome cladding on the toaster horse, Ricky Martin concert.
Oh, God, oh boy! I guess I'm on a roll there. Oh well, yeah. Anyway, okay. So the convention. I'm really gone full circle here, but okay. So I'm thinking a floor fight is possible, just simply because, you know, every time Romney starts to wipe out his competition, it's like an oh shit moment for the party all over again. It's like, wait, we don't really want this guy. And then, you know, they're really out of options, I guess. Like I said, Newt's flamed out good and hard, I think. Santorum is really all they got left, and he's losing his traction too. I mean, he's basically, for what I can see, is like in Illinois, Romney's up like 30% over 31, 37 to 31.
Yeah, but lots of Mormons still in Illinois, oddly enough.
He's on his slide. He's not going back up no matter what happens. It's just a question of how fast he slips at this point. If Illinois goes to Romney, that's the shooting match as far as that goes, I think, if I don't have the numbers right. But I think there might still be a revolt at the end of that. Like, I really don't think the party wants to get behind him.
And see, I think Mother Bush is still in the background. You know,
well, see, yeah.
She who potty trained her brood at gunpoint.
Oh,
you know, clutching her pearls. Jeb, I want to see you president before Mother goes on to her reward. You must be president, Jebby. Yes, Mother. It's It's like a Bates family convention in Kennebunkport with that bunch. And so I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just an optimist who's hoping for the comic effect of it.
Like I was saying, the time for laughter is, you could laugh if you're on a different planet watching, but for the rest of us, it's pretty damn scary what's going on. I'm thinking Jeb could be a secret factor. And what worries me, what worries me the most is the voter suppression stuff. I mean, remember, this is the first presidential election we're going to be headed into in November. We're not going to have Acorn. We're not going to have the League of Women Voters doing voter registration drives because they're all afraid of getting sent to Gitmo. You know, I mean, that by itself is going to depress the numbers a lot. There's all these voter suppression tactics going on at the state level. Did you hear? Okay, Pennsylvania, they just passed a new one, right?
Yep.
Have you heard about that? I just saw that on
The thing is, they pass them, and then they get declared unconstitutional, and they pass some more.
Well, yeah, 12 years later when it doesn't do us any good. I mean, okay, the Justice Department is doing okay. They knocked down a Texas, or is that redistricting thing? I don't remember.
There was another with, the voter ID, I think Rick Perry had a hissy, and it got stricken, but if there's anything that the totality of all this tells us, Horace, is that the Republicans know that a good turnout is their doom, so they're trying to suppress turnout.
The one little ray of sunshine of this, and I mean nothing against the elderly here, but I mean they are unintentional, blowback, because they're knocking elderly Republican voters off the polls too in some places. But I don't think that comes near to balancing out, suppressing the minority vote, the college vote, and those things. So I think it's just a drop compared. I mean, like I said, they could go anywhere from 5 million people off the rolls to, I don't even know what the upper limit is, but, what was Obama's margin of victory again? Back when he really had the base excited, Well, we're coming up for a fight. And so that's why I was saying a long time ago, if Jeb steps in the bush in the game now, I think it's over. I think he knows something because he is way too timid and cautious to take on an opponent like Obama unless he knows about to a 99% certainty that he's going to win it.
Well, and that's the thing. The drama of a floor fight.
He's not coming back.
No, the drama of a floor fight and all the media buzz that would create, including the Jebby surging from the sea foam like Athena from the head of Zeus, or Venus on the half shell for that matter.
Oh God! Never mind. Hang on, I got the hurl now.
Yeah. Okay. But that would create a huge buzz that in a short period of time that would provide more hope to the Republican Party than President Doggone Carr, the nominee Doggone Carr. Because at this point, for either Santorum or Romney, the only question is, who will be the delegated pander of a vice presidential nominee? And Santorum is such a right-wing zombie that he will have to, he'll go find himself an ideologue of similar stripe. What happens with a Romney nominee? You've got to get a Protestant.
Absolutely. He can't have a Catholic, and he can't, for God's sake, he can't get a Mormon. I mean, could you imagine? Even Romney's not that dumb.
Yeah, a woman. Who isn't Sarah Palin?
The problem is, what is out there that can do the ticket any good? I mean,
I have a secret theory.
Kay Bailey Hutchison?
Yep.
Who else is there?
That's it.
Oh, really? Possibly. Well, I don't know. What's her relationship with Mitt? I guess they get along. That's the other thing. You have to look at personal compatibility.
Well, she's laid low for a while.
Well, she sure enough has. That's for true. I mean, a lot of people don't even... I did it again, didn't I? A lot of people don't even remember who she is. As far as keeping the profile goes, I kind of got it played out to Lamar Alexander myself.
Lamar's too old.
Well, I used to think people were too old until this time around. Gingrich is 68, isn't he?
Yeah.
Ron Paul, he's not serious, though.
None of the ones running get to be the vice presidential nominee.
No, no. Well, that wouldn't happen in any case. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're pushing the bar on it.
No, we need it. We need the Republicans need a Protestant, a Protestant white woman, and I don't know. It can't be Jan Brewer, you know, old hatchet face from Arizona.
You know, it would almost work. I thought about that for about 20 minutes, but she's just a little too nuts. The thing is, I think she'd get under Romney's skin in about 5 minutes. I don't think he could work with her.
Well, she'd be shaking that finger in his face before he could say Joseph Smith.
Well, he just does it, grab her by the shoulders and turn around. She can shake it at the Latinos. You know, that's her. That'd be her job on a ticket. You know, to get that base that fraction of the base.
Okay. How about a Latina female?
Who? I can't remember.
How about Ileana Ross Leighton? She's nuts.
What? Yeah, well, okay. How long has she been in office, though? Like, I've been through like all the new faces, but they're like they just got there, like in 2010. Nobody has a record to run on yet, except like a handful of them.
No, she's been there a while, I think.
Where is she again? Actually,
she's out of Florida.
Oh, okay.
Let me look her up real quick. Then, of course, there's always Mean Gene Schmidt's out of a job.
I don't know. I don't think she's telegenic enough. I mean,
no, she looks like Granny Flampett.
That wicked festival on. I don't know. She does have a voting record the conservatives love, but sure. That's hard to say. I still think that probably chances are they go to someone.
Oh, no. Ileana Ross Leighton could not be vice president because she could never be president.
Oh, she's not constitutional. Okay.
She was born in Havana.
Is that it, I guess?
She was born in Havana.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's been in the House since 1989.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, well, okay. Hutcherson may be a good... Well, she's getting kind of old, too, isn't she?
I try to type quickly and I wind up.
Yeah.
There she is. Born July 22nd, 1943.
Okay.
So she'll be 70 next year.
70 then. Yeah.
Darn.
That's the upper limit. It's doable. But. Yeah, I don't know. Should be good for one term, I guess, possibly. But the main question is, okay, when you do get to be about 70 years old, how interested are you in running on a presidential campaign? And that's a grueling process for you. If you're new,
although she, you know, she ran a good hateful campaign against Rick Perry for governor of Texas, so.
Mm.
And that was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I stand by my original prediction. If Jeb somehow ends up in a convention fight, I would say chances are it's pretty much over with. They know something that we don't.
What we know is that it'll have to go past round one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fun starts in the back room in round two, three, four.
Yeah. That's the thing. If they had to pull Romney out of the back room process, they'd, you know, I think that's going to split the party right down.
And the thing is, Romney is not going to go gently into that good night.
Oh, no. He's been working at this for 2 years.
And the Mormon Church will not go gently into that good night.
Well, now, speaking of the Mormon Church conspiracies, I mean, did you ever stop to think that... what in the world was Huntsman doing in that race to begin with? I mean, I know you kind of thought he was a stalking horse for Obama, but you know... This is not like talking about the Catholic Church
Huntsman was a warm up. He's a young guy. He came across as hip and he'll be okay to run in 2016. He was out there for the same reason. He'll be given an opportunity to deliver a stirring speech in Tampa. Just as Barack Obama was given an opportunity to deliver his purple speech in 2004.
Yeah, but ain't it just too bad that everybody hates him in the Republican Party, though? I mean, like, that's just, he's about as welcome in Tampa as the space herpes. I don't know.
Yeah, space herpes. Sorry.
I mean, I've never seen such a hated candidate. Only, you know, it's between Huntsman and Ron Paul. It's hard to decide who the base hates most, worse.
But the thing is, one of the other threads running through this is that if those big time Republican pundits and pashas and whatever are right, and that a Santorum would lose, or a Gingrich would lose 35 states plus, and maybe a Romney would lose 35 states, then this will, theoretically, this will compel, and I read this, an article all about this a while back, this will compel the Republicans to sober up and try to, you know, slow the hallucinations and get a little bit normal. And shut down the teabaggers and make them behave themselves and go back to being the useful idiots that they've always that they've always been there for in the past.
Yeah, they got a real problem there. I guess they're gonna bring back the debt ceiling debate again, right? Just in time to make, you know, Democrats look even more sane by comparison. I guess that's what I'm hearing this week anyway.
Yeah, that's
they can't keep those dudes in line in the House. They just, you know.
Well, and look, the Senate passed a transportation bill, right? And John Boehner can't even control his own own caucus enough to get something done, and that is something on the order of 2.5 million jobs in that transportation bill.
Right, and you know, to pass the Senate, it must have been a pretty damn good deal for the Republicans too. I mean, in the House, they can't even take yes for an answer.
Well, I mean, we were talking about Oklahoma Stan a few minutes ago. Get this, you know, it did pass the House, and guess who one of the lead cheerleaders on the minority side in the Senate was? Jim Inhofe.
Coburn?
Jim Inhofe.
I mean, Inhofe. Okay.
And he don't like nothing.
No.
But he acknowledges the fact that Oklahoma Stan does not do well on dirt roads.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're all charming and stuff in that movie with Nicole Kidman, but beyond that, not so much.
Oh, no. Oh, my house is still on one. Right there. Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, Inhofe, he didn't... Yeah, they called Coburn Dr. No, but Inhofe is just as bad.
Oh, Coburn's just insane. Any man who gets elected on the basis of his promise to wipe out the pernicious lesbianism in Oklahoma junior high schools, my God.
That was a real funny one, too. What was it? Something like Woodward Schools or something. I remember that when he said, you know, some fictitious teacher was, they didn't even want to issue hall passes to girls because of lesbianism in the restrooms. So they called up the school and said, what's all this about it? And he said, what? He named names. They're like, "What are you talking about?
That person doesn't exist."
Right.
Yeah, he's out there hallucinating people.
That was pretty funny. He called all his constituents in Oklahoma City crap heads. That was one of his biggest hits. I thought there's no way he's gonna. Did you see the guy he was up against, Brad Carson or something like that? You wouldn't. It wasn't like a high profile race nationwide, but this guy, I mean, like he's like a quarter, I don't know, he belonged to some Indian tribe, but he was, you know, a nice blonde Caucasian Protestant dude. He was accepted to go to law school in Harvard, but he decided to go to Oklahoma instead to, you know, keep it all like
keeping it real.
On paper, he should get him off the floor with Coburn, but instead, you know, he lost huge. And that was like kind of the beginning of, like, that's when we knew, like, we're really going over the rails out there. Well, already gone and just woke up and noticed it. The one thing against him was he was not telegenic at all. He had the personality of a mortician. He did not come through in the debates. I mean, like, Coburn looked that positive. He looked like Mark Twain by comparison, you know, or Wilford or something, you know, like old genius and stuff. That was a shocker, though. Yeah, if you ever get bored, look up his, Carson wrote like an op-ed, like a week after the election, like, what the hell happened? is pretty good introspective reading there. But anyway, sorry, I'm taking up enough of your time. But if you got a couple of minutes, I'd try a little bit of live radio drama here, if you're up for it.
Absolutely.
In the spirit of our friend David, I believe from Maine, the one that calls in, I thought it might be fun to do a live on the air contribution to the horn. What do you think about that?
Let's give it a go.
All right, then. I'm logging into PayPal now. Oh, and plus, I kind of need a little help here because I cannot find the option to do the personal gifting on here.
You have to, when you go to log into PayPal, you just put in the bobkincaid@gmail.com address.
Well, that's what I do. I always go to send payments and I just type in your here we go, Bobkin, there we go, head on. Amount, we'll put a nice little thing in there. Okay, now I got send payment for goods, eBay items, or services, and that's all I get. So I always go for services since I'm not actually, because, you know, I mean, eBay will be fun, but I don't think that's going to work. But that's all I've got.
Let me see here. I'm looking right now, too.
All right.
Getting there.
All right.
It'll happen. Oh, come on, tubes. This is unusual. All right, here we go.
All right.
A little live radio drama. Okay, so the tab, send money.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I got send payment. Yeah.
Yeah, on PayPal. Send money and then. Then you do the address and you put in the money. And okay, so there's a tab that says purchase and a tab that says personal.
Okay, I don't have tabs. I can click a button. Kind of thing, like put the dot in the circle next to the three. I get three options. You know, I think it might be because I'm not in the U.S.
That might be.
My URL is actually .com.tw. Well, no, actually, it's /tw, so they got me nailed down to a region. So it may not work.
That probably is. That's probably the answer.
Okay. Well, I wanted to check with you because, I don't hate PayPal as much as some people do, but I don't see any reason why they should get more of a cut than they get already.
Right.
I thought I'd check with you on that. Okay, well, we're all set up. I'm hovering over the send payment. Oh, wait. Message optional. I like to make it nice and personal. And send payment.
We've never done anything like this on the show before.
I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah.
The payment has been sent. Exclamation mark. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's that easy. I urge everybody to run out there. BobKincaid@gmail.com is the PayPal address, or there's snail mail, which Bob is what?
1038 North Eisenhower Drive, Beckley, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801.
Operator. Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Radio.
Operators are not standing by.
Yeah.
and we will not sell. We will not send you a sweaty prayer hanky.
Yeah, that would Boss Man Wayne would not be pleased. I don't think.
No. But Boss Man Wayne does love to go to the mailbox and turn around and pay bills.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's always a nice feeling when you get that pulled off.
Yeah, and one of the things we're getting ready for, just as an aside, and I mentioned it a couple of times, one of the things that we're getting ready for is the return of Dr. Bill to the airwaves on a Monday through Friday basis.
Oh, for real? Okay, I remember from you mentioned he had like a Saturday show before or something.
He did a 3-4 days a week show for a while on the horn. And he's coming back to that. Only it's going to have a very narrow focus, which I think is kind of cool. He is going to...
Like a history focus?
Yeah, it's going to be Constitution and founding-based, the revolution up through the ratification of the Constitution, maybe a little further in, and it's going to be magnificent.
Wow. Speaking of that, I have been looking... Dr. John Kaminsky was mentioning several times, like in his last round of lectures... from the prison series, y'all folks are in the prison. He's writing a book. 1786, right?
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right.
The year running up to the Constitution, I guess his thrust is like scrapping the Articles of Confederation was not really necessary at all.
Yeah, it was a creative crisis.
Created crisis, but also like a confluence of events, much like it precipitated the actual revolution. Kind of this one damn thing after another, right? That kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I've been looking for this book because he said it was supposed to be out last year. And I don't even know where to... If you go to Amazon, look up John Kaminsky, you don't find nothing. I mean,
he is an academic publisher.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I tried to go to University of Madison or Wisconsin at Madison. I found his professor page, but I'm like, I'm having a hell of a time trying to find anything he's published except for like a couple of papers you can download.
I don't know. I will ask Dr. Bill about that, and I'll email you back.
Because that sounds like a fascinating read. I really would like to get my hands on something. It probably cost about $300 since it's like, on a university press, but still.
Yeah, the university presses get a little pricey. But he's written extensively on all of this, and he was kind enough to give Ferg a copy of one of his books, and it's and I read it, and it's absolutely transportive. Well worth the effort if you can. But I will make a point of asking Dr. Bill, and he'll be thrilled to know that somebody wanted to know how to go about reading John Kaminsky. And I'm sure that he will get an answer back for me.
Sure. I'd love to hear about it because that just sounds endlessly fascinating. I mean, I'd like to.
And of course, we will be, so this is a good time to mention that there will be an American History Chat coming up this Saturday. Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, the 24th.
I got to get caught up on that. I missed the last one. I guess it's out there on the Ustream channel, right? So.
Yeah. That's another thing we have to sort out. I didn't know about the bandwidth limitations at Ustream, and they're biting us in the butt.
Uh-oh. I mean, like, even advertisement didn't take care of it, or?
If you pay them $100 a month, it gets you some more, but the $100 a month isn't there.
No, I would imagine not.
So.
There are other alternatives. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
We're going to have to explore some of that. But I tell you what, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I hope there's opportunity for more of them.
Yeah.
And see, you're still alive. You're still breathing. You're okay.
I'm here. Oh my God, it's early. Yeah, it's trouble trying to get to, because it's...
Yeah, good God, what time is it there?
Well, now it's actually kind of reasonable. It's just after 8:30 now, but the thing is, like, during the week, I can hang around. Assuming I'm awake for and I'm in the house, I can catch maybe the first couple hours of the show, and then I got to hit it. I got to get on my day because it runs. This is actually the better time of year because due to daylight savings and the fact that only the states does it, the show is 6 to 9 in the morning here now. But the rest.
Wow, I'm drive time in Taiwan.
Yeah, now all I got to do is get you on the radio out here. And
well, as long as I don't do it without a shirt on, I think I'm okay.
Well, if you do, shave up first, I guess. Man, I'm not really
sure. Man nipples.
Oh! Better.
Have yourself a wonderful Saturday.
Will do. I'll try to do it again soon.
I hope you do. I look forward to it.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
All right. Bye now. This is the magic of the horn. That's our good buddy Horst, otherwise known as Horzak. Over at YouTube, who has pulled out a number of clips of horn programs just on his own volition and has done a magnificent job of it. And you just heard the morning call from Taiwan. I'm simple. I just think that's too too freaking cool. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob. How are we today?
Oh, Brother Albert, we're doing great. How's Brother Albert?
I'll tell you right now, I want Horace to have the pearl inlay toaster. That's some good stuff there. Man nipples and... And then, I mean, the whole conversation. The only thing, if I may, including about that middle part of your conversation regarding when you guys were, you know, troubleshooting for the pig lickings, you guys are too smart. You're using too much logic and
rational too many syllables, Albert.
Too much book learning. You guys have. You guys aren't. You know, you're not down with the pig lickings.
There we go with that talk we talked about again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they ain't going down without swinging, and they're gonna swing the crazy for all.
And they're gonna fling the poo. And
I mean, you know, when them mealy mouths, you know, hucksters like Pat Robertson's talking about legalizing marijuana. And then, you know, Rick Santorum is probably about, 2 seconds away from executing homosexuals, under Old Testament law. I mean, you know, so there's no, it's not happening. These people are insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's just too much. There's no way. They're just crazy. But I'll tell you what, Brother Bob, you definitely do not have to worry about a no snowfall. It's not coming. You're far below on me in latitude, and I'm telling you right now, there ain't no snow hitting in Wisconsin. It's 73 degrees right now.
Yeah, I got an email earlier from Jeanette in Minnesota saying, 77 here.
Yeah, no, it's not happening. This is gorgeous. The sun's giving birth to a planet out there. I mean, there's too much activity in space. Enjoy this early this mild winter, and this spring is just going, man, can you smell the mesquite, Bob? Can you smell it?
In this part of the country, it's hickory. Yeah.
Time to get
something porcine on the grill and low and slow with a garden chair next to it, occasionally tossing a hunk of wood into the firebox.
Yes, sir. It's summer's back. I'm so happy. I'm beside myself. And let him have the convention. It doesn't matter. It really, 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 really doesn't matter. You know, you sit there and you look with PSE&G. You know, PSE&G, the big, Pacific Cow, whatever power company. They had, I don't know if you caught that article they had on Clean Technica that they made, where they, we didn't hear it on mainstream news or any kind of news at all, but it's huge news. You know, it is maybe an investor news. Maybe if you invest and you do day trading, you've heard of it. You know, but PSE&G is over here looking at, right now, they took an account, and our national energy grid is 1% solar. 1%. They put, their projections out for 2016. You know where solar sits?
No, where?
It raises up by 34%. 35% it sits at. They're looking at, PSE&G is gearing up and thinking that solar photovoltaics are going to be up to 35% of our grid in 4 years. Now, that's what the article said. And you know what? I'll tell you what, I see a lot of Americans out of work. I see China and even the United States making solar panels and so on, more and more facilities. And you know how it is. Once these things get going, you know how these high-tech things are. I mean, what? They just gave that lad from whatever high school some big award for, figuring out a different way to print solar panels. We're going to see solar panels everywhere soon. It's going to happen, and that's going to have the jobs. You know, President Obama is going to come out and say that. That's what he's going to come out and say. This is his jobs plan. This is what we have. We're going to have jobs we can't export overseas. And the other thing is, the middle class is hurting so much. True. But most of that damage was done. We all know where that's from. That's from the Bush administration. We all know where it came from when we were losing, 2 million jobs a month or whatever it was, and everyone was getting foreclosed upon. Well, and I'm sure there are people still, to this moment, there always will be, getting foreclosed upon. However, it's not what the cascading, rivers of BS that it was a few years back. So, President Obama is going to be able to sit there and say, hey, listen, you are better off 4 years, than you were today, than you were 4 years ago. And in another 4 years, it's going to be a complete paradigm shift. I mean, when you think about it, and, you know, if you're paying what you pay for power right now, right, and I told you in my last call we talked, before you went on your gallivanting all around D.C., we talked about how, you know, what was it, 13% of the coal power plant grid has been taken offline in the past year. That's huge. I mean, that's enormous, and that's what's going to save your mountain. I'm telling you, I mean, what Coal River Mountain, that coal, that little tiny coal, I'm starting my barbecue, you know how it is. You gotta start these coals up, right? You start the coals up, you add the little lit coals into the big coals, next thing you know, you've got a huge fire. And Coal River Mountain Watch, you're that little coal. You know, the horn, touching all the people you touch throughout the world, it's the coal, it's like the heart of the fire. It doesn't take much, just a tiny little spark and some oxygen, and next thing you know, here we are. You know, you speak it, and here it is. And that's where we're heading. I'm telling you, solar panels on every roof. Americans employed putting these solar panels up. And the other thing is, at the end of 5 years, when you don't have you don't have to make as much money, because you're not going to have any power bill. You know, I mean, it's just going to be, that's how it's going to be. We had Stanford recharging electric cars. GM is fully committed to electric cars. Nissan is fully committed to it. I mean, Nissan's going to, by 2016, Nissan's going to have nothing but electric cars. So that's the direction that, you know, these big corporations, you know, billion, you know, however many billions of dollars they have in the bank, that's the direction. They know we have to go. They know that coal, that tar sands and all the shale and all the people I talk that are crazy lunatic Ron Paul Romulans, and they ain't worth squat, because if Ron Paul is worth anything, they're loud, but what the hell's he got? 4% is last, I just looked, 4%, what the frick is that? You know, I mean, you know, and I grant, I'll give Ron Paul more credit than I give the rest of the Republicans, but Jesus. I mean, they've gone off the rails, and they're gonna swing that crazy club. You just watch, Brother Bob. It's gonna happen. There's no way they're gonna have any sanity. Jeb Bush ain't gonna get in the middle of this. Jeb Bush, maybe 2016. Maybe 2016. But by 2016, this country's gonna be in such a better shape. What are we gonna see?
One of the things, Albert, that I think will make a difference, assuming that we get past the Supreme Court, is when all of that expanded Medicaid coverage kicks in for the Affordable Care Act, and suddenly somebody who's making $50,000 a year and has a couple of kids can have health insurance they don't have to pay directly out of their paycheck for.
I'm waiting.
Well, that's going to be pretty damned exciting.
Yes.
And they're going to look up and say, "I like this."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And don't think for a minute that Ferg will be going with me for this next broadcast gig a week from Monday, and I'm half tempted, although it's probably too dangerous. I'm half tempted to send him outside because. As we walked past the Supreme Court just a couple of days ago, there was, of course, the usual suspect out there. Not quite as crazy as this Coney 2012 guy. By the way, Sandra, there is video. Sandra sent it to me, Albert, of this Coney 2012 white savior done gone naked screaming in the streets of San Diego. It ain't frontal, it's backal, but he's naked and, you know, howling and pounding on the pavement and shit.
Tell you what, if man nipples are offensive, they ain't nothing more offensive than a flat man ass. Everyone knows that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about there. I mean, I'm embarrassed of myself if I see my back. Forget it. Men don't have to look at them. Yeah, unless it's your thing. That's your thing. Enjoy.
Yeah, right.
But to me, nah, I can't even.
So,
I don't want to see that.
I mean, understanding that level of crazy.
jowls. I just see Mitt jowls. I mean, not Mitt, Newt. Newt jowls.
No, naked. The eye.
It's watching you.
No, so dude's walking around outside the Supreme Court, you know, screaming at the trees. They're violating the Christians. Oh, the Christians is being persecuted.
Yeah.
And Ferg looks over at me, and you know how he can be. You've met him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Dad, may I go over and have an earnest conversation with that lunatic?" And I said, and I was just trying to keep it together, Albert. And I said, no, son, we're in a hurry. As if we had a little more leisure time, I'd let him go talk to the crazy guy. Yeah, not the, and I'm not talking about, you know, homeless. No, this guy, no, he was religiously insane.
They are. Oh, no, they are, you know. And I'll tell you another thing, Brother Bob, you know, that reminds me, you know, because this Coney's another drumbeat to war. You know how it is. You know, and they're always like, oh, Obama's a warmonger and so on and so forth. Even though, you know, goodness, I mean, if you're going to count Libya, what did that end in 3 months?
Yeah.
And,
but,
know,
but now, I mean, you know, from last night, we've got the ultimate 21st century, Louis and Marie moment with the dictator of Syria sending bad American country ballads across the palace to his wife.
No.
Oh, and by the, yeah, by the way, Sandra just wrote in. She said, tell Albert the naked guy looks pretty fit.
Really? Ooh, Jeff Gannon Guckert, he found a new job, huh?
Oh, no, not him.
No, Gannon Guckert, gosh, yeah, you know him.
Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck?
Yeah.
Talon News.
Talon News. Getting that third hook in. Hmm. Anyway, sorry. That's an anime.
It's all right.
Sorry, I apologize. Yeah, nah, Brother Bob, you know, it ain't happening. They just don't have it. There's no, I mean, they haven't had anything under their feet for years, and, you know, they already took us off the cliff. You know, they're the lemmings that followed. We're the ones that, you know, stabbed our heels, and, you know, we haven't gone over the cliff. And based on that alone, you know, it just ain't going to happen. Same thing with Israel and Iran. Iran isn't violating the, you know, the non-nuclear...
Nuclear Non-Proliferation Act.
They're doing exactly what they're legally entitled to do, and if Israel attacks them, you know what they're going to do, is they're just going to open the doors to inspection. And when there are no high-grade radioactive isotopes found, Israel will be a pariah. And Israel's not stupid, we all know this, and they know that, and that's why they're not going to attack. That's why they're just using, you know, hyperbole to sit there and drum up support. Are they drumming up support? Do you know of anyone who wants to go in? Not even the Republicans want to go into Iran. No one does. You know, so if Israel can't go and attack, they can't start anything. You know they can't attack because, well, just like Saddam didn't have them weapons of mass destruction, Iran isn't building a nuclear weapon. Because they don't freaking need it. Because as long as they don't violate the rules, you can't come in. Right? I mean, honestly, let's not look at the Bush years as standard. That was crazy time. You know, that was hysteria moments. You know, that's not the whole of humanity. And I think the whole of humanity wants, you know, we want progress. You know, that's what we want. You talk to anybody. You talk to anyone, even the crazy moron on the street who's running around butt naked. You say, what do you think about solar panels on the roof? I think that's a good idea. Of course it is. I mean, of course it is. I don't want to pay for it. Of course you don't. Just like the Mississippi guy, you know, I'm going to vote for them Republican. Did you see that? That guy, I mean, hoarders wouldn't even visit the shack that guy lived in. You saw him, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That was the tusks. Yeah, that guy had some tusks on his mouth, on his lower jaw. You know, and he's, I'm going to vote for Republican. You know, they're going to make me rich. Well, it hasn't worked yet. That's right. It hasn't worked yet. I mean, come on.
I'm one stinking lottery number away.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You ain't getting nothing. What's wrong with you? It just, you know...
They're not going to let you in the club.
No way. No how. It's not happening. And, you know, and that's the thing. And if Mississippi Stan, you know, I think actually, honestly, you know, from everything that I'm seeing, I can see us pulling out of Afghanistan soon.
Well, at this point, don't we kind of got to?
I think so. I mean, I'm not talking Saigon, but,
No, but you know, I did notice that Hamid Karzai, who really needs to work on his imagery a little bit.
Clash.
Hamid said that he is at the end of his rope with the United States and the coalition,
mm-hmm.
and the drawdown has to begin. And I understand that, but of course, you know, he's a corrupt freak.
Yes.
That's why he was so conveniently available for the Bush administration in the first place. They just had a, mm-hmm. you know, it's like central casting. They just have this group of corrupt freaks that they can drop into potential situations.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when he said he's at the end of his rope, I was thinking, no, Buster, that's where you're going to be when the Americans leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, he's got to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when the Americans leave, he's going to be the dude hanging on hanging onto the chopper. Take me! Take me!
Yeah.
Oh, don't leave me!
No. And I hear you. I mean, I think, though, that, I mean, even, you know, let's be honest, you know, President Obama didn't, you know, we all know, liberals have long memories. We all know, well, President Obama didn't invade Iraq, and President Obama didn't invade Afghanistan, and, you know, President Obama didn't put our troops in the Horn of Africa, and all these other things that President Obama has not, he didn't sign, you know, a ceasefire with the North Koreans. I mean, and, when we see these Republicans, that's exactly the kind of, you know, that's the kind of crap they spew out of their mouth. They say this with this, like, yo, Obama is the Antichrist of all things, and he's done all things negative to America, and then it goes around the world and apologizes for it, and they're completely unhinged. So, you know, with Afghanistan, you know, we got to admit, we've killed a hell of a lot of Taliban over the last 11 years. You know, and I think if we give these people the things that we should have been doing, instead of dropping bombs, we should have been dropping books, and the fact of, you know, Afghanistan's, you know, wealth, and I know Karzai, and we all know this, and there's always these, you know, these little, there's always sand in the gearbox, and we all know this, but that's what he is. I think, though, if we look at where we're going in totality, and the types of rare earth minerals that, you know, are conveniently available in Afghanistan, you know, Afghanistan could be this new, you know, resurgence, you know, it could be this new crossroads that it used to be in ancient times. I know you know the history of Afghanistan, but, you know, it was the crossroads of trade in the ancient day. And, you know, the largest hoard of gold, you know, items and artifacts was found in Afghanistan. You know, they had money back in the day, and I think one day, you know, they will have it again. And I think they, you know, will see a more tolerant form of this. And you got to admit, you know, that's where a lot of hash is grown, a lot of opium. You know, I know they don't use it as much, but they do smoke that hash. You know, so every time I see a documentary on the Afghanistani people, you know, they always seem chill and laid back. And as long as you don't, you know, show your nipples in public, they don't freak out. I mean, but if you show your nipples in public, they freak out. You know, so I think, you know, if we handle them, if we end this correctly and with honor for both sides, you know, I think then it will be palatable. And then I think we can move on. And I think we can move on to a glorious future. That's my deal.
And get out. Get out. We really can't have another one of these dudes going out and taking out, you know, 9 children with direct shots to the head.
Yeah, we need to get those boys back. We need to drop them on a nice beach with some, you know, as much beer as they can drink and some ecstasy and some music. Ecstasy, MDMA, that's right, I said it. And he said they need, because, you know, Pat Robertson says, you know, hey, let's give these guys a couple duffel bags of marijuana and let them just unwind. You know, and I don't know of anything else that can, you know, I mean, I don't know what anything else, you know, and make a, you know, couple group sessions, whatever, but, you know, make it this thing that, you know, I don't know anything else that can touch a human being so deep.
Let them get well.
Psychedelics. Exactly. I mean, and let this stuff be a healing to these guys. That's what they deserve. They deserve our support. And, you know, after what they've done, and they don't know any better. I didn't know any better. You know, and everyone in, yeah, we don't know any better. We think we're doing what we're doing, and then next thing you know, we're pawns to this giant system, and it's disgusting, and this is what, you know, now we ended up to this. And it's sad. This guy's already, what, he's probably arriving at Leavenworth now. And Leavenworth ain't no goddamn future. That's a scary, 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 disgusting, horrible prison of all kinds of prisons. I mean, Jesus, you just look at a cow, you don't want to go to Leavenworth. There's no way. And that's where his ass is going. And, you know, yeah, just shit. They should take a couple of Taliban on tour.
Well, but the question actually remains open because, do you remember the Haditha massacre? Nobody did time.
Yeah.
So, he may not either. David in Tennessee just offered this up, and I think it's valid, Albert. He says, look, folks, let's let Barack Obama trickle away with his measured withdrawal to keep the wingnuts at bay, but may we please have that become a torrent of withdrawal come mid-January 2013? That's not too much to ask now, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. And that's apparent. apparently what, you know.
Yeah, goodbye. Like, yeah, right. Okay. Reelected. Goodbye now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And but the other scary thing, Sandra just sent this along. Apparently, over in Israel, the cabinet breakout on the war with Iran front, eight ministers tend to support the position of Netanyahu and Ehud Barak for attacking Iran. Six oppose it.
How many have total?
Eight out of 14. It's 8-6 right now.
Yeah. That's not enough. Not enough. They don't have enough to do it. And they know why. And they know that if Iran... Listen, the CIA... Listen, this is the same CIA that was talking all this bullshit about Saddam. Right? Now, I mean, I guess you could take the pessimistic view in that they're hiding what Iran has, but... I don't know, radioactive isotopes are difficult to hide. And especially when you, I mean, the IAEA is there constantly. They're always there. So I don't see, I mean, we had cameras in North Korea's facilities. All right?
Hey, Albert, I hate to say it, but I just looked at the clock. I've got to get out of here.
All right, Brother Bob.
Hey, you have a great weekend. Thanks for helping out.
Always.
Bye now.
Bye.
Brother Albert, the Sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Thanks to all of you who tuned in this evening, and we'll be back at it per usual on Monday. Hey, it's time for Rick Smith. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen in every way that you make it happen, from your kind contributions to the volunteer staff, the persons, the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, our blogger, Texas Betsy, my head writer, David in Tennessee, John Fox and Ben Birch, both who have been working tirelessly on the website, and probably we should describe for you at some point the absolute hell that they went through getting it back online. Thanks to all. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.